the SAVE Act, H.R. 22, or the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, was originally introduced by Representative Chip Roy and passed by the House in April of 2025.
The SAVE Act is a great bill. Mike and I updated our SAVE Act, which focuses on citizenship. We added the voter ID, to your point. That's now the Save America Act, and it's a great bill. And we want to move that bill over to the Senate and then force the Senate to act. I want Democrats to have to explain why they want non-citizens to vote in our elections and they don't want common sense voter ID in federal elections.
Can you explain how requiring proof of ID is voter suppression?
That's not a statement that I ever made.
You sure about that?
Then you should have brought the SAVE Act, which is a voter suppression bill.
The bill demands ironclad documentary proof of U.S. citizenship for federal voter registration, slamming the door shut on any loophole for non-citizens to sneak onto our rolls.
The way the voting system is structured, we see quite a few flaws. You're able to register even if and cast a vote if you don't live in the country, as evident of his brother in Pakistan. And I think we have some evidence of two or three other people out of the country that voted. Is that correct?
Approximately two or three other people out of the country, as well as people residing outside of the district.
All you have to do is click a box and say that you're not lying, and then you'll get an email from the Secretary of State or something in the mail saying thank you for registering to vote, and there you are. Once you're on the voter rolls, anytime an election comes around, guess what? You get mailed a ballot.
And we found that there were just about 5+ million of them that came to the country as illegals, were giving various forms of parole or allowed in the country, and they got through an automatic system, social security numbers, so they get into our benefit systems. And we tracked that through and found that they were on the benefit programs. And just because we were curious, we then looked to see if they were on the voter rolls. And we found in a handful of cooperative states that there were thousands of them on the voter rolls and that many of them had voted.
71% of sovereign countries require voter ID, while about 15% require basic personal details and 13% require some form of non-photo ID. Only a small minority of countries have no ID-like requirement at all.
They will bring in hundreds of illegals. They will spread them out across all of these plants and factories, giving them jobs. They're all using the same social security number. The IRS unconnected our names from the social security number. Now when you look it up, it just pings to see if there's an employer. If there is, it says it's good. It validates it. Why do they do that? Because all of these factories are giving them social security numbers. The government turns its back on it. As soon as you have a social security number and you go over to motor voter, pass the driver's test, right? You get a driver's license. The person looks, you got a social, you must be a citizen. That's how they pack the rolls.
Nearly a year after House passage, the Senate remains the choke point, with Majority Leader John Thune publicly signaling support and stating a vote is coming at some point once an updated version clears committee. Thune must bring the bill or its stronger Save America Act companion out of committee, schedule floor time, and rally the 53 GOP senators plus at least 7 Democrats, or nuke the filibuster, to hit 60 votes and break through Democratic resistance. It's not optional. Thune either delivers on this core integrity promise or faces the wrath of the growing awareness of the American people.
So the latest voter suppression bill is not a serious thing. Let's just be clear about that. You're asking me a legitimate question, but it's an illegitimate bill. That's dead on arrival. It's going nowhere.
Things could get pretty messy here on the Hill today, as House Republicans may have to advance this package of government spending bills without any help from Democrats whatsoever. Now, the first thing that House Republicans have to do is pass a complicated procedural vote known as a rule. That has to pass in order to get an actual vote on these funding bills on the House floor. Now, that procedural vote is going to be a whole lot easier said than done. Not only will Democrats not vote for it, but Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna is threatening to hold the whole process up if the voter ID bill known as the SAVE Act isn't attached to the spending bills. Still, though, Speaker Johnson is confident it'll all get worked out.
Call now. Demand your congressman and senator pass the SAVE Act. 202-224-3121. Add the SAVE Act to the government funding bill. Please call 202-224-3121. 1021. John Bound report.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family in a fudge operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. A lot happening over here that we're going to be diving into today. Exclusive content you're not going to see anywhere else because everyone else is a bunch of cowards. That's what we'll be talking about today, folks. Good morning. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. We've got an incredible crew joining us later today. Kevin Sorbo is going to be joining the show in the first or the second hour, I should say. We look forward to that. I got a lot to talk to him about in regards to, you know, let's just say those celebrities who are being called out now by Nicki Minaj for participating in sacrificing babies. We were once told that that was just a conspiracy, but again, more people are coming forward on that front and voicing their concerns. So he'll be joining us on that. Also, Andrew Branca is going to be joining the show later today. Branca is going to be joining the show as well. He's an attorney. He is an incredible attorney who's going to be standing off a lot of key issues. So many of you guys maybe saw yesterday, Bill and Hillary Clinton now want to comply, of course. They want to comply in regards to that subpoena that they were served with. So that now they're going to be testifying, of course. I'm going to ask him about the legal ramifications for all of that. And Liz Harrington joining us as well, because I got a lot to talk to her about, especially when it comes to Fulton County. Now, as many of you guys know, Fulton County was recently raided because, well, as many of us have suspected for quite some time now, their elections are illegitimate. They are fraudulent. They've known about this for quite some time. And all the top officials there, we could probably say, knew about it. But the media is really upset. They're fired up, actually, and they're trying their very best to defend those who are a part of all of this. So we'll keep you in the loop on that. Just so you guys know, we're keeping our eye on a couple of things right now, right now, in France, just to give you a brief update. Elon Musk, his ex office in Paris apparently has been raided, not for what we would assume would be why they'd be interested in going. I mean, I guess they wouldn't be going for it. There's really no reason for it. They're claiming, though, that it is for child abuse images. Again, no word as to if that's really what they're going for. As many of you guys know, you can't really trust them. You can't really trust them. Obviously, they're not happy because they're not able to control what's happening on their platform. And that's obviously deeply concerning for them. So we've got our eyes on that. As of right now, their facility has been raided. I want to jump into the Epstein stuff, though, real quick before we dive into my exclusive details on Ed Martin. As many of you guys saw yesterday, Ed Martin is being talked about again. No surprise there. It's a false news report. I'll break down the latest, though. But I want to start it off with the Epstein stuff first. Because yesterday, the deputy AG, Todd Blanche, said something that was absolutely disgraceful. In clip one, you're going to hear him say that partying with Epstein isn't a crime. Take a listen.
Some of the people we saw on camera at the rallies. Is there any chance that any of these individuals who partied with Epstein and engaged in, relations with minors will be prosecuted? Well, any chance?
We I'll never say no, and we will always investigate any evidence of misconduct. But as you know, it is not a crime to party with Mr. Epstein. And so as horrible as it, it's not a crime to email with Mr. Epstein. And some of these men may have done horrible things. And if we have evidence that allows us to prosecute them, you better believe we will. But it's also the kind of thing that, that the American people need to understand that it isn't a crime to party with Mr. Epstein. It isn't a crime to have
didn't look like
violent.
That's all that was going on some of those photos. I mean, if the photos could speak, some of them look pretty bad.
That's right. And unfortunately, photos can't speak.
Yeah, so obviously, many of you probably hear that now. He doesn't deem it as a crime to party with Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, maybe you could ask some follow-up questions. Was it just the party? What were you doing? Maybe talk to the victims who were there. See, Todd Blanche is doing something that I've kind of figured was going on behind the scenes. They're trying to downplay the names that are popping up. And yes, of course, not every name that's being dropped in these Epstein files is obviously somebody who is sexually assaulting children, but a lot of them knew who Jeffrey Epstein was and they still decided to hang out with him. So you can't just sit here and brush it off. Partying with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, what did a party with Jeffrey Epstein actually mean? As many of you know, it meant that they were raping children. We're not going to sit here, back down, and pretend like that wasn't happening. It was happening. I'm really getting tired and fed up with the people in this administration pretending like you're not intelligent enough to understand what actually happened here. Talking down to even Laura Ingraham saying, well, I mean, we know what those parties were about. See, this is the problem with the DOJ. This has always been the problem with the DOJ. They don't want to ask the questions. The tough questions, if they're asked properly, would result in something probably they don't want to see. And it's hard for me to understand how they actually don't have any evidence to go after people. Again, over 3.5 million documents dumped. And you're telling me you don't have a single piece of evidence to go after someone else who is also sexually abusing children? That's garbage. You know it. I know it. And I'm fed up with Todd Blanche trying to sell us on this. Now, obviously, and we'll get to it in a little bit, President Trump is also not very talkative when it comes to the Epstein stuff. And I don't even know why they've made this such a big deal. They were the ones who have created this division within the group, within the MAGA movement. They're the ones who did that. Not you or not. We held them accountable. They said that this was going to happen. They said they were going to release the files. That was a campaign promise. And it's becoming really just too much at this point. It's overwhelming. And the DOJ has done just such a lousy, lousy job. In fact, we know that they've done such a lousy job because a lot of the documents that are being dumped online actually include the victim's information. I'm talking like first name, last name, address. Now this has resulted in the DOJ taking down a bunch of pages because whoopsies. You know, these documents are heavily redacted. Let me remind you that they are heavily redacted. And so it's to sit here and to pretend like it's just a mistake to put a victim's information out there while they're pretending that this is a top priority for them. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. And my heart goes out to the victims. We keep forgetting that these people are still alive. These people are trying to get by. These people want justice. I mean, I know you and I don't forget that, but the elites, those now who are in positions of power, they don't really care. That's why they keep trying to brush off and minimize what happened to these women. Again, I read it. I read that Florida grand jury transcript. Jeffrey Epstein waited until one of the children who he had over his home, who was giving him a massage, waited until she said, tomorrow's my 18th birthday. You know what that did? That triggered him to rape her. And she detailed just that in front of the grand jury, which resulted in absolutely no justice for her after having to relive that horrific moment in her life. So cut the crap. And I'm so pissed off with these people trying to pretend like we have to blame Congressman Thomas Massie. No, actually, we don't. Yeah, is it getting political? We'll talk about that in a little bit. Yeah, I think it is. I think a little bit's like now the president keeps going after these people, and so now they're going to keep going after him, and it's going to keep being this way. But this is all about the victims. This always has been about the victims. And while President Trump tries to take jabs over at Thomas Massie and his new wife, which I don't understand why we're even addressing that, how about we leave his wife and his marriage, his personal life out of this, I don't see a reason to do any personal digs. But it doesn't stop there. He keeps doing this. He keeps doing this. I want to play clip two for you because this is one of the victims who spoke out yesterday in regards to the DOJ continuing to fail to do its job, and that is to protect victims. That's supposed to be their job, at least. And she had no problem calling it all out in clip two. Take a listen.
I mean, the fact that only 300 million, right? We're talking about that. We've only seen half of the documents.
3 million out of 3
million. There you go. Thank you. Yeah. 3 million. But, you know, we've only seen half, and they're saying that, the reason that they didn't release the other half was to protect survivors. And yet I've found all of my identifying information out there. And I can't tell you how disheartening it is to look through a 302 and see all of your information. It's not just my name. It's like my birthday, my address at the time, like, and you move through it and then all of these Jane Does are being exposed. And so, it's just incredibly disheartening that they really failed all of the survivors on this, after so many months of saying we're being so meticulous about this and we care so deeply about this. So I think that that's where the slap in the face really hurts.
So slap.
Yeah, it's a load of crap. They don't truthfully care. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. There's no other way. They're forced now to release these documents, and now they're just pushing them out. But what they're going to do, and this is what I suspected from the very beginning, I just didn't want to say it out loud because I was hoping it wasn't going to be the case, but here we are. What they're going to keep doing is they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep releasing victims' information so they can pull back the documents, or they cannot release certain documents, because then it gives these elitist predators all the protection they need. And there's no other way to think of this at this point. The fact that the president is still going after people who are just trying to get some answers here tells you what you need to know. Was it really worth what we've seen so far? Was it really worth protecting these people? I don't think so. And we tell you all the time. I mean, the people who are listed in these latest files doesn't mean that they're predators. But if they were still trying to do business meetings with Jeffrey Epstein prior to him being a convicted pedophile, or after, I should say, then guess what? I've got a major issue with them. To me, they're just as bad as the actual abusers. And so to sit here and pretend like nothing to see here, nothing to see here, it's garbage. You and I both know that. But the deflection is real. And who does it help? It helps the creeps like Bill Gates out. You know, we're learning more and more about Bill. And while Bill wants to get the rest of us to participate in medical experiments, he himself might have been. I mean, we're learning, obviously, that according to the emails, again, sent by Jeffrey Epstein, so this comes from Epstein, Mr. Bill, the creepy Bill, apparently caught an STD. And we don't know the specifics. We just know that there was a Russian girl involved in this, according to the email. Now, again, these are just accusations, but a Russian girl... Well, if she's just a girl, it's called rape. It's called rape, Bill. Now, again, this hasn't been proven in court yet. We hope there one day will be a time when this does happen. But Bill just keeps getting away with all of this. And we sit here and allow him to speak to us like he's a medical expert at some capacity. Lecture the rest of us. While Jeffrey Epstein was one of his good friends. They didn't just meet once or twice for lunch. No, they were hanging out. They were hanging out. And even his own wife told him at the time, stop hanging out with him. The guy's a creep. But Bill couldn't help himself. I wonder why he couldn't help himself. I wonder why. In clip three, you're going to listen to Bill and back in 2022 talk about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Now he wants to refer to him as an evil person. Why? Because he's linked to him. And so he has to pretend like he's a demon. But we all know who the true demon actually is. And that's Bill Gates. Take a listen.
I have to ask you about Jeffrey Epstein. Melinda mentioned that was one of the strains, your relationship with him. And, you know, why? I guess the question is real simple. I mean, why did you continue to meet with him? When you met him, he was already a convicted sex offender. You know, and do you regret that?
I certainly made a huge mistake, not only meeting him in the first place, but I met with him a number of times. I had a goal of raising money for global health. I didn't realize that in a meeting with him almost downplayed the incredibly awful things he did. You know, I learned more about that over time, but, you know, I'd add that to the list of big mistakes, including, you know, where Melinda's advice was sound and I should have followed it sooner than I did.
And you never saw anything where you thought, this doesn't feel right. Linda kind of had a visceral reaction the first time she met him.
No, he was a bad person. And, you know, I had a reason that I thought those meetings would lead to something good, but I shouldn't have done them.
Oh, man. He's a bad person, that Jeffrey Epstein. You know, Bill, you know who's a bad person? You are. You are. You knew he was a pedophile, and you still hung out with him. Oh, he was trying to, oh, we're all supposed to be thankful because Bill was just doing the meetings, was just having the meetings because he wanted to save the world. Bill Gates needs to be brought in front of Congress. I've had enough of this guy just getting away with all of this. Stop being a bunch of spineless cowards. Drag this man out and make him answer some damn tough questions. And if he pleads the fifth, then that's all we need. That's all we need. To sit here and to pretend like nothing to see here, folks, is absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. And the people that are telling you to believe all of this, people that are trying to sell you on Bill Gates just being innocent and looking to save the world and was hoping Jeffrey Epstein would help him in that case, garbage. Garbage humans. And it gets even worse, folks. The lies that they continue to push just don't seem to make any sense. Why? Well, if you looked at the latest documents that were released, it's like a slow trickle because there's just so much out there right now. But the newly released FBI records, back on July 29th of 2019, just 2 weeks before Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, his lawyers met with federal prosecutors in Manhattan. Now, in that meeting, Epstein's defense team were discussing, in just very general terms, the possibility of resolving his federal sex trafficking case. What does that mean? He was looking to take a plea. Now, does a man who thinks he's going to get a plea agreement again, which will likely be very cushy again, does a man like that actually kill himself? No. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Why would someone who thinks that they are going to get out, possibly going to get a really lenient plea deal, working on a plea deal, just started working on a plea, why do you think they would kill themselves? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. In fact, many of you know it's my favorite line, it only makes sense if you don't think about it. And that's what they're hoping you're doing. They're still trying to sell you on this as if this is a legitimate thing. And it's not. It's not. The federal government, and again, I've always tried to be very open-minded when it comes to the Epstein stuff, whether or not he actually did kill himself. But the reality of it is nothing seems to make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then guess what? How did all those jumpsuits, how did all those prison outfits make its way into a cell? I'm sure that wasn't a natural occurrence, but I've never been to prison before. Ask someone who has. I'm sure they'll tell you. Not normal to have that many pieces of clothing in your cell. In your cell. So we'll keep our eye on it, obviously, and we'll keep following as things develop. But of course, folks, it's just enraging. I'm annoyed. I'm so annoyed. Everyone just continues to talk down to the American people like we're all a bunch of morons who can't figure things out for ourselves. That includes Todd Blanche. Sadly, that's now including the president who continues to tell us just to move on from the Epstein stuff. It's all just really infuriating. I don't know if you guys saw this. This was pretty interesting. I'm going to become like a biolab journalist where I just report on biolabs. But in Las Vegas over the weekends, there was an illegal bio lab that was raided. Now, the interesting part to this, of course, is if you're wondering who owned this bio lab, well, a Chinese national owned this bio lab. This happened in, one was discovered in California, but the raid happened in Vegas. Now, interesting enough, this is according to those on the Select Committee of Chinese Communist Party. This was raided. The execution of the warrant was served on the 31st of January. That video that you're looking at right now comes to us from Las Vegas police. according to the information that was put out there so far, this is what we do know. Hazardous material was found. The CDC inspections that was obviously conducted identified at least 20 potentially infectious agents, including HIV, tuberculosis, which again, we're hearing everywhere. There's TB everywhere. I wonder if that's the CCP unleashing it onto the American people. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with the illegal invaders that were shuffled into this country by the Biden regime. But again, folks, tuberculosis was somehow, some way in this lab. And the deadliest form of malaria was also discovered in this lab. Now, according to the reports, there was a refrigerator labeled Ebola that was also later discovered. The CDC did not test many samples, including unknowns, leaving risks unclear. This is according to the report. So ask yourself, how is the CCP somehow, some way shuffling in these deadly viruses into our country? And we are, I mean, the FBI has caught a couple of them. Under Kash Patel's leadership, he has caught a couple. But how is this happening? How is this happening? And why are we continuing to allow it? You know, the Chinese aren't our friends, and I get it that we want to suddenly play nice with these people. But obviously they want us dead. You don't shuffle Ebola into the United States if you're looking for an ally. And I'm sure this isn't the first, and I'm sure it's not the only one. I'm sure there's a bunch more. But the fact that this isn't being broadcasted on the mainstream media tells you everything you need to know. This isn't a conspiracy that the Chinese are trying to kill us. This lab, this raid was just executed. The footage you're looking at, according to Las Vegas police, January 31st, 2026. This just happened. This just happened. And let me remind you also, the CCP was allowed to open up secret police stations as well in the United States, in New York City. And it wasn't even secretive. Like, I knew about it. It was in the New York Post. The FBI waited before raiding it. Waited way over a year. Why? We don't know. Probably because everyone who's involved in it, we're all getting cash. I mean, one can only assume at this point. Why would you allow a foreign government to operate a law enforcement agency on our grounds? This was in New York City. This is in New York City. Folks, we have people selling us out all across this country right now, and there's no accountability, right? We're getting a couple of, like, the lower hanging fruit. You know, you see a couple of Dems. Okay, cool. That's cool. But what about the people who've allowed this? What are the people who've actually committed treason? Where the hell are their criminal charges? And I don't mean to be a black pill early in the morning, but when we're sitting here and going through this, I'm going to get fired up with the CCP trying to execute the American people by trying to unleash deadly diseases onto us. We only know about a few. We know HIV, tuberculosis, malaria, one of the deadliest forms of malaria. We're all just supposed to sit here and go, maybe we could cut a good deal with the CCP. They want us dead. They want us dead. And anyone sitting here trying to still play footsie with these commies is a treasonous pig. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our, it's our new rolling sale. So discounts vary and it's constantly changing. So you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and take a look. Some of your favorite products are on sale right now, like up to 25% off the Methylene Blue, capsules obviously as well. Shilajit gummies, capsules as well, and that one too, and MK Ultra. There are so many incredible items on sale right now, even t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. You got to check it out on thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here. I want to make sure we dive into with you. I don't know if you guys have seen, but there's been a lot going on over at the DOJ, a lot of fake news reports that I want to dive into with you all. I know a lot of you were tagging me on X. Like, Brandon, what's going on at the DOJ? Well, there's actually a lot going on at the DOJ. And sadly, some of our best fighters that we have over there, the most based ones, the ones who actually care about saving this country, well, they're being pushed out. And it's been going on for quite some time now. There's a lot of people internally who are over at the DOJ who aren't happy with those who are trying to do what you voted for, the American people. And so right now, we've got a limited group of people who are there at the DOJ who are fighting, and they reach out to me quite often, and they vent to me about what's happening internally. And, you know, it's not good. It's not good. I don't know how else to describe what's going on right now at the DOJ. It's not good. If you elected President Trump because you wanted accountability, because you wanted those who weaponized our federal government under the Biden regime years and the Obama years, of course, If you wanted those people held accountable, you're not happy with what you're seeing at the DOJ. It's not a black pill thing. You're just asking for the basics, which is to make sure that it never happens again, because we don't want to live through that again. But right now, there are key players right now over at the DOJ who have infiltrated their way in, and they're not doing what you, the American people, want them to do. Now, for those who push back internally, those who are actual fighters, they're being targeted. They're being targeted. And it's not just Ed Martin. There are others. There are others. People who have left the DOJ because they've had enough. Right? When you work in DC, it's already a crappy environment. But when you have to sit there and deal with the internal issues of people trying to uppercut you, cut your throat, try to get you out, plant bad stories in the media against you, why would you want to work for them? You're making a fraction of the money you probably made in the private sector. And so there's a lot of people right now over at the DOJ who have had enough, who have had enough. Yesterday, there was a BS report pushed out at CNN claiming that Ed Martin was leaving. As many of you guys know, Ed Martin is, at one point, was supposed to be running the weaponization group within the DOJ. He was also, he also is the pardon attorney for President Trump. Now, why did Ed Martin take this job on? Well, if you're not familiar with Ed Martin, he was a great podcaster prior, an attorney, obviously, as well. And he was one of the very few who was outspoken about all the corruption that was going under the Biden regime. He's a fighter. Make no mistake. So when Ed Martin made his way to the DOJ, all of us were very excited for this, even though, of course, those cowardly senators didn't want to confirm him. He at least got a good position, and we were hoping that it would work out. But what's happening now at the DOJ is absolutely disgraceful. See, the DOJ is intentionally planting bad stories with outlets like CNN. Top officials telling CNN, and I know that they're actually, I won't even really call them fake news right now, because they're actually getting this from legitimate DOJ sources. But those DOJ sources are corrupt. Those DOJ sources are the ones who specifically are trying their very best to uppercut people like Ed Martin and get them out. Get them out. So what's happening now is they're putting out these repeated reports. They've been trying for a while now, CNN, to land a punch, and they failed. Now, I've reached out to my sources when CNN declared that he was leaving soon. And I'm told, Ed Martin ain't going nowhere. Ed Martin's not leaving. You're going to have to drag Ed Martin out if you want him out. He has no plans to leave the DOJ. None. Now, again, CNN likely got this story from a well-sourced individual over at the DOJ who's trying their very best to push Martin out. These anonymous cowards who continue to drop bad stories in the mainstream media, these are the people we're going to start outing. You come for Ed Martin, I'm telling you, folks, this isn't going to go well for you. This isn't going to go well for you. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Earlier in the week, CNN came out with a report saying that the Justice Department were expected to hold a meeting on Monday to discuss the weaponization group. Now, again, that's the group that Ed Martin's leading, or was leading. Ed Martin has since been stripped of that title. He's no longer running the weaponization group. And I wonder, why would you stop Ed Martin from doing that? I mean, this is the guy who's looking to figure out the federal government's involvement with shutting down InfoWars. We know he sent out letters. We know there were key people who tried to shut that down as well. And it's not just that. The pardons that have been piling up on Todd Blanche's desk. Obviously, those pardons are being written by Ed Martin. But again, these are people internally at the DOJ telling me, okay, you're not really wrong. You got good sources when they hear my reports. But you have to understand, Todd Blanche is a very busy man, and he can't get to everything that's on his desk. Tough luck. Tough luck. Folks, we have a massive issue right now in this country, and it's all within the DOJ. The DOJ is a cesspool right now. And I know this. I know this. We're going to continue to dig into it. Because it's not just Ed Martin being targeted. There are other people being targeted, other patriots who decided to just work for the DOJ, took a massive pay cut to work over at the DOJ. And they're being targeted. There's a level of evil right now at the DOJ, and they think that the American people are going to see past this. They think that we're dumb enough to not follow through and figure out what's going on here. Why are there bad stories being repeatedly planted in CNN about Ed Martin? About Ed Martin. You mean the only guy who actually has been aggressively out there? I had Ed Martin on my show once. They wouldn't let me have him back on ever again. You know why? Because I asked questions the American people actually want to hear about. And Ed Martin answered those questions honestly. In fact, one of those questions was about Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The kidnapping hoax. There are people sitting right now in federal prison for the hoax that was cooked up by the FBI. When I asked Ed Martin specifically, are you guys going to begin looking into it? He said yes. Which resulted in a huge mainstream media storm because they were all angry that Ed Martin's looking into this. Even the governor weighing in herself saying that she doesn't want these individuals to be freed. Doesn't care that they didn't do anything wrong, that they were set up by the federal government, but wants them to rot in prison. Well, after I did that interview, folks, I have been blacklisted over at the DOJ. And all I did was ask questions. You see, I'm not like a irrational person. I'm just asking for the DOJ to do their job. I'm just asking the DOJ to stop with all these toxic people they keep bringing in, Todd Blanche, and stop having these people purge out others, plant bad stories in the media to tarnish their reputation. People that have taken on these roles, they have taken a massive pay cut. They're dealing with an abundance of stress. It's not fair. It's not fair. And right now we have a massive, massive issue. Massive issue. And it's worth addressing. And, you know, we're going through all the people who are at the DOJ now who probably shouldn't be there in the first place, who are likely the ones planting these stories. Imagine what a kind of a horrible person you have to be to push somebody out of the job just because you don't like how base they are. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Ed Martin is based. Ed Martin is based. If Ed Martin leaves the DOJ, I could promise you something. It's gloves off. Now, again, Ed Martin's a fighter. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon, but we haven't had that discussion. I haven't been able to speak to him, and so it's really frustrating. But when I'm going through all of this and I'm asking around, is this true? Is this true? Everyone's like, no, it's not true, Brianna. It's just DOJ staffers trying to plant bad stories in the media, create some type of feud. Where's the president in all of this? Why are we allowing this to happen over the DOJ? Why are we allowing it? And we should have expected a statement to be made by the DOJ's AG, Pam Bondi, right? One would think. I haven't heard her make a statement about this false report. But why are we allowing people, staffers at the DOJ, to plant bad stories in the media? And again, we can be critical of CNN, but this isn't a fake news story. I want to be clear. They are intentionally giving CNN bad information, whether or not they choose to vet it, to me is also an absolute disgrace, right? Because all you have to do is reach out to Ed Martin or his comms guy, and he would have told, I'm not going anywhere. I reach out to comms teams all the time, and they've got great teams, people who respond pretty quickly. So that's all they had to do if they really wanted to get to the bottom of this, but they didn't. They wanted to run a story to help out. Folks, we have a massive issue right now at the DOJ, and they are trying their very best to push out really important people to this movement, to the accountability tour is what I keep calling it. And we've got to be careful with this. We've got to keep our eyes on this. Again, this is the only, guys, I think DHS is doing a good job. I think every other agency, for the most part, is doing a decent job. But the DOJ, the corruption is so deep right now. And the fact that we're not sitting here, we're not seeing actual reforms, we're not hearing from President Trump, who should be calling on serious reforms, it's pretty disheartening. Again, I was the one that published that email. Sadly, that Rand Paul's office wanted to redact so you, the American people, wouldn't see who sent the email. But you know I'm not a coward, so I released it unredacted. And it highlights, again, a key issue here. Why are there still people right now, Kenneth Corder being a great example of it, who are still at the DOJ? Kenneth, by the way, Todd Blanche knows who he is. And I know Todd Blanche knows who he is. Kenneth Corder is an evil, evil man. He ran the J6 section, that little persecution that they were leading. Remember that? Well, they rounded up people for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol. Well, he was the one who was in charge of all of it. And, you know, Kenneth Corder is still at the DOJ. I mean, this is a guy who wanted a woman who wasn't even there that day arrested, had no evidence, but still wanted arrest. I asked Kenneth, hey, you got comment on that? Will you be resigning? Because you should probably resign, given the fact that you had no evidence and you called for this woman to be charged. And it's not just that. He's involved in a lot of other high-profile cases. A lot. But for some reason, he's being protected by Mr. Todd Blanche. This is the email that Senator Rand Paul's office was too cowardly to put out there. Instead, they wanted to protect this man. And they did that. Take a look at the redacted one that they put out publicly. But screw that. You don't cover for these people. We don't run cover for these people. These people are treasonous pigs. They should be stripped of their law license to be able to practice law. They manipulated the law to go after people that they just disagree with politically, and they're still at the DOJ. You're telling me that that's not enough to toss him out? No, it is enough. Keep in mind, too, Todd Blanche is a former Democrat, 2024, if you want to call that former. I mean, as somebody who is politically stupid for quite some time in my career, I would say that no, you probably should have learned sooner than 2024 that Democratic Party was a group of treasonous pigs. But again, it's not just that, it's also Republicans as well. Every single time, folks, every single time. It's just so infuriating. You, the American people, didn't vote for this. We didn't vote for this. We voted for people to get dragged off and go to prison. And if it doesn't happen, guess what? It's going to happen again. The next Democrat who shuffles their way into the White House, whether it's stolen because nobody's trying to fight for election integrity right now, or whether it's actually, it's going to be stolen. We're screwed, guys. We're screwed. If these changes aren't made, there's nothing to be optimistic about. And again, I hate being a black pill. I don't want to be a black pill. I want to tell you that there are great things going on right now over the DOJ, but I've got nothing for you. I've got nothing for you. There are great people over there who are being pushed and pushed and pushed because they want to do what's right. Let's switch up gears since we're talking about do what's right. Tulsi Gabbard, overall, just an incredible, incredible person. Over at National Intelligence, by the way, and I don't know if I've detailed this for you. My sources told me that she's been pretty, as soon as she got into the position, she secluded herself with just people that she knows. No one else on the outside is able to come in. And that's good news because the reality of it is it's infiltrated and you're never going to be able to find people you could actually trust. They're going to give you poor information. They're going to try to go after you. And she sees just that. She is a target. I keep watching the cable news channels and she's constantly being featured on cable news. Nothing controversial, but they're trying to make it seem controversial. Because right now, Tulsi Gabbard has been handed with the task of searching to see who stole 2020 elections, specifically what all the key players were. And as many of you guys saw, she was in Fulton County during the raid. Now, again, it's not like completely out of the loop for her as somebody who's obviously the director of National Intelligence. National Intelligence is it, the elections fall right under their scope. And so while the mainstream media will go after her, will keep bashing her for it, it's important to note that during the raid, it wasn't just her that was present. It was also, by the way, the FBI Deputy Director, Andrew Bailey, was present as well. And one of our callers said, where's Bailey? Well, I guess he was there. But according to Gabbard, it looks like President Trump requested that she be present during this raid. Now, according to the reports, about 12 field offices, including Atlanta, senior officials, were all involved in this as well. During a visit to the Atlanta field office, the DNI thanked agents for their professionalism in facilitating a brief phone call from the president personally, who also thanked them for their work. But here's the interesting part in all of this, and I want John Solomon, obviously, he's one of the faves over at the FBI. So when he does get a story, it's usually factually true because it comes directly from them. But In clip four, you're going to hear John Solomon break down specifically the details behind the Fulton County raid. Take a listen.
Now we got some other big news to get to, and that's about that FBI raid on a Georgia warehouse that occurred last Wednesday. About 700 boxes of ballots were collected there by FBI agents. Our reporting here at Just the News has uncovered that the FBI search warrant approving that raid cited a law that prohibits fraud by election workers. A search warrant for the Fulton County Election Hub near Atlanta, which is the major city in Georgia, was signed by a federal magistrate, and it specifically cited two sections of Title 52 of the U.S. Code. Specifically, the sections that were cited ban someone who knowingly and willfully deprives, defrauds, or attempts to deprive or defraud the residents of a state of a fair and impartially conducted election process, either through the procurement or submission of voter registration applications that are known by a person to be material or false, fictitious, or fraudulent under the laws of the state in which the election is held. In other words, the focus of this investigation, the focus of that raid, the reason that a federal judge approved that raid was that they're looking at possible crimes related by election workers and the administration of that election in 2020. That's the one that President Trump for years has raised concern. We're going to have more on this in just a little bit.
So you hear that. You hear that. The people who are working there. Remember, Giuliani was sued for talking about this. So we got to be a little sparing on this one. But folks, people have had their lives destroyed. To sit here and have done what they did, man, you can't let up on this one. You can't let up. They're not doing much to save our elections either, by the way. The president keeps posting about it. I don't see Congress doing anything. And again, I don't really hold it against... I mean, I do, but I don't. I mean, President Trump yesterday praising, again, Mike Johnson in Post. I'm just over it, folks. I'm just so over it. It's you don't want to be blackpilled, but you have to also remember that there's a lot on the line here. You know, on election night, the rest of us were, I know myself, I was screaming because I was so happy. And it's just been a massive disappointment since. Massive. Even if they couldn't do everything, we just asked for like a quarter. Just give us at least a little bit. But we've got nothing for you so far. Tulsi Gabbard also did send over a letter to the Select Committee on Intelligence. Now, specifically in this letter, she is going after Democrats who have been lying about her. And she's fired up, obviously, about it. She's referring to it as blatant lies, and she's had enough of it, calling it slandered accusations, slanderous accusations. And she's had enough. I mean, obviously, she's allowed to be there, folks. I don't know why this was so controversial. I guess they just needed a reason to go after Gabbard. And so they are taking up this fight. But she didn't do anything wrong. She's there. She's present. She's supposed to be there. Folks, fighting for our elections should be a top priority. If we lose our elections, we've got nothing else. We've got nothing else. I want to switch up gears to another story. This one's interesting. Kristi Noem, DHS secretary, coming out. And I thought this would have been a thing. And I want to remind our audience, I know the FBI doesn't do it. And I think that's an absolute disgrace and should be fixed. But Kristi Noem saying effective immediately that they will begin deploying body cams on all of the officers in the field in Minneapolis as funding is available. Funding should be a top priority for this. Now, again, I didn't know DHS doesn't have it. I feel like I've seen some of their agents with it. But then again, remember with Renee Good, remember they had to pull out their iPhones and they were filming themselves. They are filming because they know that they're going to be in the right. Right. I'm referring to that one agent who popped out of the vehicle and is immediately taping Renee Good. It's the video that now vindicates that everything that they did was a clean shoot. But the fact that they don't have body cams is insane. It's insane. The budgets are out of control. You tell me that you can't find a company to sell them some body cams. And the worst part too about it is the FBI doesn't even utilize these. And I've been screaming about this for quite some time. Because when you guys remember when J6ers were being prosecuted, when they were getting their homes raided, when even James O'Keefe, I spoke with James about this. When they go into your home, they disconnect all the cameras. They'll break them. They're allowed to. They said they're just trying to protect what their strategy is when they're in your homes. I think it's absolute corruption. I think it just allows them to possibly plant evidence on you. And if we truly did care, you probably would put an end to that. You probably would put an end to that. But again, the FBI also being immune. I want to play clip 8 for you because Jorge Ventura was on the ground yesterday, and we'll play a little bit of this. But he was assaulted yesterday by the group of the lefties over in Minneapolis. But interesting enough, folks, oh, we're going to have him on tomorrow, by the way. Today's a travel day for him, so he'll be with us tomorrow. But Jorge Ventura was assaulted by these lefties. Take a listen to clip 8.
You can't assault me, dude.
Get in your fucking car.
You can't.
Get in the fucking car, man.
So they're assaulting me and my photojournalist. Got it all on video. They actually tried to steal my phone, but unsuccessful. And you're going to get blasted all over the internet, buddy.
So obviously, as you guys have just seen, I'm looking at the President Trump. He just tweeted out something, but it's not even relevant right now. But I, as you guys can see there, Jorge Ventura was, you know, they pushed him, but they tried to steal his cell phone prior. And we're going to have him on the show to talk about that. But this is what's going on right now. They're also running license plates. And I was going to play this, too, in another segment in just a bit. But they're running people's license plates. Isn't it crazy? How are they able to get away with all of this? Yeah, maybe someone's a PI in the group, and that's how they're able to dig a little bit. But, folks, why isn't local law enforcement getting involved? I mean, Jorge Ventura's Uber driver was driving down the street and had just quickly parked on the side of the road. And they ran his plates and went to go confront him. I mean, who the hell do these people think they are, confronting someone who are driving down public streets? Where are the police? Obviously, we all know that answer. But it is just so infuriating that this is what's going on right now. President Trump keeps posting on Truth Social. That's what I was reading. He keeps posting on Truth Social about Ilhan Omar. And it's frustrating because he has all the authority. If she lied, which we all believe she did, to get into this country, you could denaturalize her and ship her out. But we keep going after her and taking jabs on social media. What does that do? It does nothing. Obviously, there's corruption, and this is a 2025 article. That's why I didn't want to mention it originally, but I'm just so over this. I'm done with the post. Just go after these people or leave us alone. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the new rolling sales, so discounts do vary. But the best part about this is some of your favorite items are on sale right now. You got to check it out. Ultra DNA Revival NAD Plus, that's on sale right now. It's up to 35% off. You got to head on over right now. Stop what you're doing to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, I can't shut up about those energy shots. Those are my favorite things ever. I do at least one a day, and I got to tell you guys, it lasts throughout the entire day. One of these shots, when you subscribe to, it costs about a cup of coffee, but there's no caffeine, you're not going to get those jitters, and it's all natural. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program, and we've got a great lineup of guests joining us in just a few moments. Before we dive into that, Kevin Sorber will be waiting with us in just a moment, too, by the way. Got a lot to talk to him about. But I wanted to play this clip for you because it highlights what ICE is really up against. And the fact that these liberal governors are refusing to help ICE, you know, get the worst of the worst, pedophiles, sexual predators, murderers, they have no interest. Take a listen to clip 6, though, on Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, and how she's detailing her refusal to work with ICE.
You're not using our local police. I need them to protect the communities mm-hmm. and not have this distrust. And this is what we're hearing, that people are not distinguishing between right. local police, and we try so hard here to have a positive relationship with our communities of trust. And I want my police going after the murderers, the rapists, the gun traffickers, being available for emergencies. And if they're off there being deputized by ICE under these agreements that just a few of our counties are doing, they're being distracted. And I do not want that, and I'm not going to be supporting that, and we're going to change the law in the state of New York.
You like what she said there? Yes, because she really wants those violent drug deals, all of them, she wants them gone. That's the reason why the state has passed legislation to literally give criminals in New York a Bill of Rights is really what it is. And this is what's going on all across New York. If they truly cared about what she just said she cared about, you'd want these people out. You'd want your local law enforcement agencies to work with ICE. But that's not the real thing, what they're trying to do here. They don't really care. They don't really care. And so this is what's going on right now. You have all of these horrible people, governors refusing to work with ICE. I just keep it simple. I want these people out of our country. I want these people out of our country. They don't belong here. They weren't supposed to be here in the first place. Stop pretending like these are legal immigrants looking to assimilate and to create a better country for the rest of us. That is not the case. Kathy Hochul, she knows that. In New York, let me just give you a little bit of an example. I left New York in 2019, and I left because I know that back in 2018, they had just passed criminal justice reform after shoving it into the state's budget. And what that resulted in is what you see unraveling today. It's a catch-and-release system. They quickly catch them, give them a bench ticket, and release these people. And New York has turned into an absolute cesspool. So if you're someone who's trying to maybe live a law-abiding life, a peaceful, quiet life, it's not possible in New York. It's not possible. The entire state has been destroyed by all of this. And right now we have local lawmakers doing more to protect the illegal invaders rather than the people of their state, the American people. Kathy Hochul's refusal to work with ICE tells you everything you need to know. Everything you need to know. This is the problem. This is also, by the way, the woman who's demonized law enforcement so badly in her state that so many people just fled. They don't want anything to do with it. The NYPD, if you ever look at the NYPD and who's a part of the NYPD now, I can promise you it is not the NYPD it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's a bunch of out-of-shape people. A lot of them don't even speak English. And it's because, well, pay sucks. New York Democrats have made it just not desirable. They've demonized the agency so badly that no one with self-respect would actually want to join. I know it's going to fire and trigger off a lot of people over at the NYPD, but they know it too. That's why so many people are throwing in their retirement papers. It's a depressing job to work in a liberal city like New York City. And I have so many friends who have spent their entire careers working for the NYPD, and they're done. They're done. All the great people have left. So Kathy Hochul refusing to work with ICE, just another one of these lefties who are refusing to keep the American people safe, but it's not really surprising. All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a little bit. Kevin Sorber joining us in a moment as well. Got a lot to talk to him about in regards to Nicki Minaj. She's been posting a lot of really important tweets in regards to celebrities and their rituals, their baby sacrifices. It's obviously a satanic cult. We'll be talking about that. We'll be talking about a lot more as well, specifically Democrats pretending to quote the Bible and pretend like the Bible supports abortion. That's a big one, too. We'll discuss all of that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Second hour of the program, a lot going on over here. Oh, man. Nicki Minaj, I listened to her music in college, and my mom never let me listen to it in high school, but I did listen to it in college, and I know I shouldn't be admitting that, but she did have some real good bangers, but man, she's really dropping even more bangers on X these days. She has since come forward as I think it's fair to say that she's a conservative American, and I didn't have this on my bingo card. I don't know about you guys, but I was not expecting Nicki Minaj to become one of our greatest fighters so far in 2026. But man, oh man, is she dropping some gems on X, and she's outing what we've been telling you about for quite some time. Now, we were told this was a conspiracy theorist type of ideology that we were pushing out there, but it looks like, again, more people coming forward and saying that, no, this is actually true. This is actually true. Nicki Minaj posting several tweets to X. Your favorite artist has been practicing rituals in a satanic cult where they take babies from other countries and mutilate and kill them as a form of a blood sacrifice to their god. She goes on to calling out Christians as well for continuing to vote for Democrats, saying that they're fools if they do just that. Now, folks, Nicki Minaj is obviously someone who became very vocal in the political spectrum because of President Trump's efforts to go after those who are killing innocent Nigerian Christians. And since then, she has just been a massive, massive force to be reckoned with. Joining me to discuss is Kevin Sorbo. He is an actor, director, producer, and an author, and he's with us today. And Kevin, it's an honor to have you on the program. We're excited to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit in just a bit about some of the projects you're working on. But I was very excited to see this Nicki Minaj. There was a couple of tweets that were posted, and she's outing what's been going on behind the scenes. And she's talking about the music industry, and I think a lot of us have heard about this for decades now, about the corruption and all of what she's describing as a satanic cult. And she details it specifically as to, sadly, babies being sacrificed. And it sounds crazy, but apparently, I mean, this is what's really going on. What do you make of Nicki Minaj coming out here and detailing all of this?
Well, she's very brave to do so. Look, I'm part of Hollywood, but I've never been part of Hollywood. Yeah. I don't really fit into that world that well. I've been an actor. I've been doing it for four decades now. I love what I do. I lived in LA for many years. I escaped that crazy state 7 years ago, even before COVID, moved here to the free state of Florida. But, I've heard the rumors through the years. I could never verify them. I couldn't prove them. I couldn't prove them right now, but I've been hearing them for so long and hearing, I'm not going to name names, but I've heard big name actors are involved in this, big name directors, producers, all that. I'm sitting here going, what do I know to prove it? But I think Nicki's far more entrenched in that world than I was. And I think she sort of escaped it. It's like people getting out of Scientology or something where they're starting to attack her now even more. But all kudos to her for speaking up, because there's something weird going on. When I look at, you know, I'm from Minnesota originally. My state's turned into California, if not worse. All my buddies back home are conservative, and I believe voter fraud there is big as it's ever been anywhere else. But I look at these people protecting these pedophiles, protecting criminals, protecting all these illegal aliens that ICE is just trying to pick up. But so why do they spend so much time trying to stop ICE from doing their job? What is behind that? I look at, you know, saw the Grammy Awards, and the same thing happened there where these people get up there and you're going, you know, it's kind of interesting that they keep, you know, they're the snake that eats their own tail all the time. The hypocrisy within this group of people is so blatant and so obvious every day that I don't even think they see it themselves. I think they're so demented with their thought patterns and their beliefs and their strategies, or they're afraid to speak up. And Nikki got to the point that she's not afraid anymore.
Yeah. And that's what's so amazing about this, that she's not afraid to speak up on all of these issues. And I think it's really, really important, especially like we just saw the Diddy trial play out. And I think a lot of Americans saw that as a very eye-opening experience for them. She kind of got the behind the scenes look into all of this. But I love the fact that Nikki's also calling out Christians and saying for those who continue to vote for Democrats and what's been going on over the years with them, that she's calling them out. She doesn't understand how they're able to continue to support the Democratic Party itself. What do you make of that? Because I don't think, I don't think politics is really pushed as much as it should be pushed into the church. I don't think we talk about this enough.
Well, we should. I mean, this country is founded on Judeo-Christian values. I mean, the Bible is as intrinsic with our founding fathers as it is with anything else. And look, I've said that same thing before, which gets me in trouble. I grew up in Minnesota where back in the day when I was there, my parents grew up Democrats, farms in Iowa, and then they moved to Minnesota. And, you know, it was Walter Mondale and Hubert Humphrey. Well, I think that older crowd, that 50 years old and older, is sort of entrenched still. They keep voting Democratic because they've done that all their lives. I don't think they're really paying attention to really how horrific the party's become, because everything's moved further left. Even the Republican Party's moved further left. My friends that say, you know, they say they love John F. Kennedy. I said, great, but look at his 1960 inauguration speech and find me one Democrat. Find me a handful of Republicans that talk the same way JFK did in his inauguration speech. I mean, it's even on his gravestone where he says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Is there anybody in politics other than Trump, I think, and a handful of others that are actually saying those kind of things right now? So I get in trouble for saying that. I've gotten in trouble before saying if you're a Democrat and you vote, I mean, if you're a Christian, you vote Democrat, then really, it's, what's going on here? I mean, they are the party of, look, I'm a pro-lifer guy. I do a lot of pro-life speaking across the country. And you sit there and you agree with the Democrat Party that killing human beings is okay? I mean, it's weird. It's a weird, weird world we're living in right now. And it comes from the Democrat Party. It comes from the mainstream media. It comes from Hollywood, from the movies and television that they do. They've normalized it since Roe v. Wade that killing human life is okay. You know, it's not out walking around yet. So it's okay. Just kill it. So it's pretty bizarre what we're doing right now.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, this brings me actually to my next point, because you were actually sharing this clip and reacting to this. So I wanted to play this for our audience at clip 9, but there's a Texas Democrat who's running for U.S. Senate as well, but James Tallarico, he claims that the Bible is actually pro-choice, and he tries to make that argument. Take a listen.
But I say all this in terms of, in context of abortion, because before God comes over Mary, and we have the incarnation, God asks for Mary's consent, which is remarkable. I mean, go back and read this in Luke. I mean, the angel comes down and asks Mary if this is something she wants to do. And she says, if it is God's will, let it be done. Let it be. Let it happen. So to me, that is an affirmation in one of our most central stories that creation has to be done with consent. You cannot force someone to create. Creation is one of the most sacred acts that we engage in as human beings. But that has to be done with consent. It has to be done with freedom. And to me, that is absolutely consistent with the ministry and life and death of Jesus. And so that's how I come down on that side of the issue.
Kevin, I kind of want to hear your reaction to this, because we're watching those on the left constantly try to manipulate scripture to their narrative to make it seem like it fits with what they believe in. What do you make of him doing just that?
Well, I'm shocked that anytime that the Democrats or the far left wants to use the Bible at all. Every time the Bible has proven anything, I mean, I've done documentaries that have proven things from the Old Testament. In fact, I've got a new one coming out. But I look at this and go, okay, it's interesting, guys. There's a heartbeat of 22 days on top of it, but they have actual footage of when the sperm enters the egg. There is a flash of light. There's a flash of light. There's something that occurs there that brings life, a new life into this world. So for people to sit there and fight back, I mean, if you see the pro-life people, when they march, I was just up there recently, spoke in front of a group of 1,600 high school and college students. When they march, it's peaceful. It's peaceful. It's nothing but love, and there's no hatred going on. When they have the pro-choice people, of course, what are the choices? Murder or life. That's the choices they're putting up with. When they come, I've talked to the police there many times. I go to DC quite often. I'm heading back up there again soon. And they tell me when they finish, when those people finish their so-called pro-choice, march, there's litter everywhere. I mean, there's just no regard for anything around them. There's destruction all around them. And that's what they believe in. Democrats used to be the party of, liberalism means embracing everybody's point of view. There's a whole new definition for the word now, because the Liberal Party, the Democrat Party, is one of anger and murder and hate and violence. And it's just, we live in such a crazy, crazy, insane world right now. And thank God there's people like you out there fighting the good fight, because we have to keep waking up, because they hate the truth. The truth really drives them crazy. Mm-hmm. I've got a T-shirt that my kids gave me going to the gym that says, Hollywood loves me. And obviously they don't, just because I speak the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't. And that's the reality of it. But, you know, we love you and we love all that you do. And speaking of that, too, you know, you mentioned you have a new documentary coming out. We actually wanted to play the trailer for that. For folks at home right now, it's standingagainsttheworld.com is where you could go to view this. I believe we have it good to go. Let's take a listen.
We can be sure that religion and science are on a collision course.
And so science has just changed the definitions. People may not like that, but I call it learning.
A war is waged for the souls of every new generation.
If you're going to say that Jesus turned water into wine, that is palpably anti-scientific.
And those that are using science as a weapon.
There is no evidence that the universe has a purpose at all.
Want to convince the world that the Bible is a lie.
Darwin gives us a good account of how we all got here. We have been selected by nature to survive.
And there. Winning.
This is foolishness. This isn't science. This isn't logic. This is showing us what happens to minds that are brilliant, that are rejecting a creator. I believe that the public need to hear that God exists and that the Christian faith is true.
Join Kevin Sorbo and the legendary Professor John Lennox to uncover evidence that stands against those leading the greatest exodus from faith in God that we've ever witnessed.
Is all this really necessary?
Something needs to be done to put it right. God's not going to say, that doesn't matter. It does matter.
Now, I don't normally need 5 minutes to rebut the resurrection. And I don't know what I'd do with the remainder of my time.
You can't simply say, and God did it. Is it true or not?
Yeah, and that is the basic question.
Something very big happened. Jesus rose from the dead.
I sense that you truly believe it.
I'm convinced of it.
Kevin, you're on a mission right now to save the younger generation who have pulled away from just simply reading the Bible. So many haven't done just that. And, you know, I always say it was one of my greatest mistakes in life was not reading the Bible sooner. I didn't grow up in a Christian household. My father, who grew up Catholic, just didn't practice when he had kids. And my mom didn't practice either. And so we never had that experience. But then, you know, it was eye-opening for me when I started reading the Bible and realizing that everything was written out and it was already put out there for us to absorb. But you're trying to save this younger generation. I think this is a really important cause. So I'll let you have the floor and kind of detail what you're hoping to accomplish with this new film.
Well, I hope it wakes people up a little bit. It woke me up. I mean, I learned a lot in this. I've been a Christian my whole life. I'm hardly perfect. I just sit there and go on and say I'm better than other people. And I've got liberal friends. I have atheist friends that said the problem with a lot of Christians is that they think they're better than everybody else and that they're, you know, they're the least forgiving. And I don't think a lot of Christians are that way, but I think there's a good amount of them are that way because I've run into them myself. Nobody's perfect. But I look at this and Joe Rogan had a great thing that on his show just recently talking to somebody and just saying, you know what, all the Christians I meet said are really good people.
Yeah.
So they're not out there attacking and beating up other people. They're not out there smashing in cars and attacking ICE agents and targeting certain individuals that disagree with what they believe in. And so to me, there's what I look at this documentary. I call it Apologetics for Dummies Like Me. It's a great way to learn to defend your faith. It's a great way to look at the world in a different way. When we went through COVID and all the people on the left said, you better take that jab or you're going to kill grandma, you know, trust the science. And they said, the thing I've cracked me up is I said, don't question the science. That's what science is. Science is always questioning. So it was just weird that they jumped on this bandwagon. Like I was saying earlier, there's been an evolution of liberalism, of Democrats from the 60s and the 70s when the hippies and the free love and don't trust the big government and all that kind of stuff. Now, all of a sudden, they're the ones who want big government. They want total control of their lives. They want to work for George Soros. Let's face it. Is George Soros even alive? I haven't seen him anything. I think his son is pulling all the strings now. But you look at how coordinated these efforts are of destruction and all these people that come in from other states to be part of the you know, during the summer of love and also what's going on in Minneapolis right now, which is now going everywhere else. So the country is they need to see something like this. They need to at least have they can fight either way. Look, I play the agnostic in this documentary. I sit there not believing everything he says, but saying, hey, show me how you believe this to be the case with Jesus and where he walked and what he did and the miracles that he performed. So even those atheists you saw in the documentary don't deny that there was a man named Jesus. They don't deny that. They know that there was this man. There's just no graveyard for him. They don't know where his body went, which is kind of interesting there, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need to get people to wake up and not be afraid, because I think fear is the biggest runner of a lot of people's lives right now. I think a lot of these people that are out there rioting and being angry, I think these people have really broken lives. They have no love in their life. They have no they probably don't have a job if they have one. They don't like that. They probably don't have a relationship. If they do, they probably don't like that. They probably come from a broken home. I think there's a common denominator. I think that's the next thing I want to do, if they don't beat the crap out of me or kill me, is I'd love to do a documentary on the lives of Antifa, the lives of these people that are rioting right now if they take their bloody mask off. But, you know, it's interesting, and I hope people will check out this documentary. And I've got another one coming out in the spring that we'll come back on and talk about. It's about the Last Supper. It's called Eating with the Enemy.
I like it. I like it. And folks at home, if you're wondering where you could go catch the film, head over to standingagainsttheworld.com. That's where you could go to see that. And you mentioned also the Joe Rogan clip. We actually have it. And I thought it was really impressive because I haven't heard Joe Rogan speak like this. So let's take a listen to clip 10.
One of the things that I always try to point out to people, they go, why do you go to church? Like, because when I was younger, I was very cynical about religion. And then I've got older. One of the things that I always say is, if there was a pill that could make you as nice as the people that I go to church with, everybody would be on it.
Yeah.
They are the nicest people you'll ever encounter. When we leave
are
the
they
church
nice
parking
or are they
lot,
kind?
They're kind.
Yeah,
they're
kind.
Kind and nice. They're all the above. If you get to the teachings of Christ, I can't find any faults in it. Like, it's all about being kind. It's all about this idea that we're all in this together and that you're supposed to lift each other up and look after each other. There's no faults in it. It's not like you have to kill the non-believers. It's not like you get to rape and pillage for the non-believers and the infidels must die. There's none of that. It's definitely a better framework for living your life. And, there's a lot of people that just reject that think of themselves as intelligent. You know, they think of themselves as intelligent and well-read and educated.
I'm
and
too
they just
smart
think it's,
for that.
Yeah, I'm too smart for that.
Too smart.
It's very fascinating. It's fascinating that people that are self-professed atheists and people that think of themselves as too intelligent for religion won't acknowledge that. They don't want to believe that. And so many of them that I know that are self-professed atheists are some of the most miserable people.
they're very depressed. A lot of them are on psychiatric medications. A lot of them are in therapy. A lot of them are really f***ed up.
They're almost cursed.
So, Kevin, I mean, it seems to be that there's a lot of people waking up in this country, specifically, I think, after Charlie Kirk's assassination. The numbers did spike a little bit of younger people heading to church, and Joe Rogan saying that, you know, he does go to service himself. Does this give you, like, a glimpse of hope that other Americans are going to start leading the way back to church?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely there's a tipping point that's going back the other direction right now. And it certainly starts with Trump's reelection as well, showing where the country is. Just enough is enough of what Biden did to the country. And I love this with Rogan. I got to get on his show. This is a perfect example of somebody that's on his own soul surfing sort of message, right? And I say soul surfing because I was in that movie with Dennis Quaid. But he's on his own soul surfing and searching type of message right now. And he's finding out. And he's just realizing, hey, wait a minute. There's a better way to do this. Look, those people, those agitators in Minnesota, they went into a church, didn't they?
Yeah.
They wouldn't dare go into a mosque. Mm-hmm. I dare them going to mosque. It's just like years ago in Denver, whatever it was, those the two gay guys who wanted to get married, they went into a Christian bakery. That was on purpose. I challenged them to go into a Muslim bakery and see what kind of response they get and see if they want to fight back.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
No, they don't. And that's the reason why. I mean, you don't see people being that brazen, too. And that was my, as soon as I saw what was happening in that church, I knew they would never do that at a mosque because, well, it wouldn't go over well for them. And it's frustrating to see that they continue to pick and pick. I mean, Don Lemon now claiming too, and I guess I'll get you to weigh in on this before we talk about something else. But, you know, Don Lemon is claiming to be a Christian and was trying to use that as justification for what he did that day in the church, telling the pastor straight to his face, I'm a Christian too. And this is, but it doesn't come off as a Christian behavior, I'd say. It doesn't sound like someone who's trying to lead the Christian life. I mean, obviously we know that he is a homosexual, but somebody to walk into a church to disrupt Sunday service like this, it doesn't strike me as someone who is a Christian or is a believer.
Well, that group that went in there, I mean, I love the fact that I think there was an African-American woman that was arrested, and there was a big white dude with a beard got arrested, and they got out the next day. And the woman said on camera, being interviewed, that's probably her right there, says we went in there peacefully. They're not peaceful. They got tapes of them just yelling at people. Kids were crying. They're yelling at the kids, telling your parents are Satan worship. I mean, it was just weird to me that what they do and what they say, and then what they say afterwards. They live in this, like, this summer of love again. Once again, Minneapolis was totally in flames, and there's CNN going, look, it's a peaceful demonstration going on right now. It's like, what world do they live in? What color is the sky that they live in? It's very curious to me.
It's quite strange. It's quite strange.
There you go.
This is memorable. I see him now doing reporting too, still out there, and it always gives me a good chuckle. Kevin, before you go though, I know you're working on a great project. You are doing a cruise, it looks like, to Greece. Can you specifically give us some details in regards to what you got going on right now over at SorboCruise.com.
Yeah, you just said it right there. Go to SorboCruise.com. Please join us. My wife and I usually go to Israel. We've done it many times in the past. We take a group of people. We walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Last year, we went to Greece to walk in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. It was amazing. We're doing it again this year. It's late September into October. It's a 12-day event. We'll spend about 4 days in Athens, where there's just so many amazing, amazing things to see there. But this time, instead of last year, we're going to jump on a cruise on a boat as well. We're going down up to Ephesus. We're going to Crete. We're going to Mykonos. It's going to be incredible. I encourage you to join us. It's a wonderful trip, and you'll learn so much about Paul and the work that he did after Jesus was crucified and his work through Greece. So go to SorboCruise.com. Another place to go is SorboStudios.com, SorboStudios.com, to check out what we're doing and find out the next movie is coming out. I just finished a movie called The Flood. It'll be out later this year. And yes, I played Noah. So it was a wonderful thing to be part of. But I hope that people can join us on SorboCruise.com.
Yes. Well, Kevin, thank you for this. It's been a great discussion. We appreciate just that. Folks, check it out. And we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He'd heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air, you'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't gonna serve dog to people. They're not gonna come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, in the next segment, I mean, the top of the next hour, we'll be taking your calls. So if you'd like to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you're going to want to call. You want to join us to talk about some of the stories we've discussed thus far. Maybe you didn't get through yesterday. Well, now's your time. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Folks, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, well, they are claiming they are going to start actually cooperating with the House Oversight Committee. Now, just a few moments ago, we actually got an update on all of this, and Speaker Mike Johnson is telling Politico that, according to him, that Republicans have now gone, or they've given Bill and Hillary Clinton a noon deadline to provide the details as to how they plan on complying with the subpoenas. And then if it's not sufficient enough, they do intend on proceeding with a contempt vote. As many of you guys probably saw yesterday, both Bill and Hillary are like, all right, I guess you want to lock us up. Would be a dream. It would be a dream. But they have now agreed to testify before Congress. We'll see if that actually happens, though. Joining me to discuss is attorney Andrew Branca. He is an attorney, and he has a great show over on X as well, The Branca Show as well. You can give him a follow on Twitter. And we're excited to have him on the show today to talk about this, plus a lot more. Andrew, thank you for jumping on with us today. I wanted to dive into this story because it was obviously a big story yesterday when it was dropped. Both Bill and Hillary Clinton are saying that they are going to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee. Now we're hearing from Speaker Johnson, who says that if they don't meet a noon deadline to detail how they plan on meeting that commitment, that the House is potentially going to hold them in contempt with a vote. What do you make of all of that?
Well, from your lips to God's ear, that would be amazing. I would love to see them public testify. I'm old enough to remember watching Bill Clinton live disclaim any relationship with Monica Lewinsky, point his finger at the American people, chastising us for daring to imagine that he might be inappropriate with that intern in the Oval Office. And of course, they just lie. Like progressives always, if they didn't have lies to tell, they'd have nothing to say at all. The only way they escape safe is if no one really wants to pick up that rock and look what's underneath. If we do, we know what we're going to find from the Clintons. It's been nothing but corruption ever since their career started in Arkansas.
Yeah, and that's the big problem here. And they continue to get away with everything. And we're told that accountability might come. We don't know. I mean, President Trump ran on the campaign promise to lock her up. And so ideally, it would be great to actually see that take place. But it doesn't look very promising right now. What do you think the odds are that the House is going to hold a contempt vote now that they say that they're going to? I mean, the deadline's noon. So they've got a couple more minutes. But I mean, they claim that they're going to comply. Do you actually think it's going to be the case?
They'll comply. If you put comply in scare quotes, they'll do the minimum they need to do. The real problem here, of course, is more a matter of the corrupt infrastructure of our government generally. You may not know this, you may not recall, but when the Clintons first came into office, there was a famous scandal because hundreds of FBI files, investigative FBI files of their political enemies were found in the White House. They're not supposed to have access to those things. They're collecting those for blackmail and influence purposes. So the Clintons know where the skeletons are, and there's a lot of people in Congress who also don't want their own rocks picked up and looked under, and that gives them a lot of behind-the-scenes influence on exactly how hard they're going to be pressed, even if they do show up and testify.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how that all plays out, though. I hope we could get that campaign promise actually worked out. If we could at least get one wish, that would be mine. One wish. But I also want to get to this story too, because, you know, I've been talking to folks over at the DOJ and there's a lot of concerns internally about people like Ed Martin who are being aired out. I mean, CNN ran a story yesterday that was not factually true, saying that Ed Martin plans on leaving within a few weeks. I don't think they even reached out to him or any members of his communications team because that was not true. But it sounds like, according to people I've spoken to, that this information is being planted by people over at the DOJ intentionally over at CNN. They want to push people like Ed Martin out. Now, we're all about accountability. We're all about making sure that those who tried to destroy this country are held accountable. And that's something I know Ed aligns with directly. But they've demoted him since now. He's no longer leading the weaponization group over at the DOJ. So he's been demoted. He's just the pardon attorney now. What do you make as to what you've seen so far at the DOJ?
Well, I mentioned the corruption in government, and there's no government institution more corrupted than the DOJ. And it's nothing to do with the leadership. It's the institution itself. You have to keep in mind, where do all these lawyers come from? They all come from law schools. The law schools are overwhelmingly far left organizations. It's almost impossible to find a sufficient number of right wing attorneys to actually staff the DOJ. And when you bring in non-left leadership, what happens? Half the civil rights division quits. Hundreds of attorneys quit when they're asked to do their jobs. If they stay in the jobs, they slow walk indictments right up to the edge of the statute of limitations. So when they're finally replaced, there's not time to get the job done right. And that's why we see some of these very legitimate indictments dismissed. Even when you find good lawyers, it takes months to effectively onboard a new lawyer to the DOJ. And I know it's been a year since Trump took over and Pam Bondi's been in charge, but given the time it takes to onboard attorneys and the institutional corruption of the Department of Justice. It's amazing they're able to get anything done at all.
Yeah, and that's the problem here, is we're hoping that they can get something done. I mean, they did go after Don Lemon, and we'll play this in a second, because I think the Don Lemon case is kind of what I want to pivot to next. Obviously, the FACE Act was something that, you know, I really don't want to see anyone get charged with, but sadly, under the Biden regime years, over the last 4 years, they used that to go after those pro-lifers who were peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. And they did it as a retaliation move after Roe versus Wade was overturned. And so now we're in the situation where we see lefties trying to shut down church services. And you got to step in on all of this. But, you know, Don Lemon is claiming that he was not a protester that day, although he used the terms that this was an operation rather than a protest. And he seemed to have a lot of background knowledge in all of this. And when people were done talking to him, he followed them and wouldn't let them just peacefully walk out of the church. He just wouldn't stop putting his, like, this guy here is a great example of that. He's trying to block him to continue the conversation, even the guy wants no part in it.
Right.
I mean, this is not somebody who is a journalist. And I want to play clip 11 for you, because Don is trying to use that as his defense mechanism these days. Take a listen.
January 18th, is that correct? You were covering a protest.
Yes.
At a church in St. Paul, Minnesota, an anti-ICE protest. Apparently there's a pastor at the church who's also a local ICE official, which is, I think, just as Jesus would want. And I believe we have some B-roll. Protesters interrupted the Sunday service, and you followed them in. You interviewed various people in the church, and afterward, well, you were arrested. Now, first I want to ask you, is there a difference between whether those protesters had the right to go into a church and whether a credentialed journalist like yourself had the right to go in and cover them going into the church?
Well, listen, obviously I'm in the middle of this. I can't say a lot. There's a lot that I cannot say, but what I will say is that I'm not a protester. I went there to be a journalist. I went there to chronicle and document and record what was happening. I was following that one group around, and so that's what I did. I reported on them. And so, but I do think that there is a difference between a protester and a journalist.
All right. So I want to ask you about this, Andrew, because obviously this is his legal mechanism that he's going to try to use to maneuver his way out of these charges. Do you think it's going to stick, given the fact that we saw people like James O'Keefe get his home raided under the Biden regime? We also saw, obviously, Steve Baker get dragged off in handcuffs as well for covering what took place inside the Capitol on January 6th. So do you think Don Lemon has any type of legal argument here?
Well, not on the legal merits. I mean, he's right. There's a difference between a journalist and a protester. But a journalist who engages in protest activities is a protester. I mean, he's a protester. He was coordinating with them before the church. He's handing out coffee and donuts. He's blocking people in the church from leaving so he can harass them. He's an active participant in all of this. On the legal merits, he's cooked. Now, whether he will, we can make it stick in terms of a conviction. You know, the prosecutors only have limited control over that. This would be a jury trial. It'll be a jury, presumably in Minnesota. It's a very liberal area. It can be difficult to get these convictions, given that the jury will engage in jury nullification. That's got nothing to do with the legal merits. In fact, that's the opposite of the legal merits. The jury's instructed they're supposed to arrive at a verdict based on the facts and the law. But if they choose not to do that, you can't force them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. You can't. And I want to also, because we're on the topic of Minnesota, obviously, you know, you mentioned it too. These lefties are just getting so violent and crazy. And it's really frustrating to see that local law enforcement's not doing much to push back. I'm talking about what just recently took place, and we're going to play a clip for you, clip 12. Jorge Ventura is somebody who we have on this show now quite often. He was somebody who worked over at News Nation previously, I guess you should say, and now he is a independent journalist. But he has been on the ground trying to report on all of this, and he's found something that I think is very interesting. These people are running the license plates of those who are driving up and down streets, and they're hoping to see if it's ICE, to detect ICE agents, but it wasn't. It was actually his Uber driver that they were actually harassing. So let's take a listen to clip 12.
What's the system you guys are using out here?
I
mean, because it's obvious that was wrong, right? I mean, the guy was just a Somali Uber driver, not ICE.
Well, the thing is, ICE, they're renting a lot of cars. But yeah, you know, we'll take this off the list. Yeah. Who are y'all with?
We're honestly just from California. Just independent photojournalists.
Okay, do y'all have like a Twitter or something?
Jorge Ventura. Jorge Ventura.
All right, cool. Thank you.
How long has this been set up, man? Like, you know, the images of this are going viral online. That's where we came. I don't know if you know if they're going viral.
But. Yeah, no, I heard that, you know, people are, people saying that, and you know, a lot of the neighbors support what we're doing, so happy to be here. You know?
Has local law enforcement said anything?
Not that we know of, no. But look, I gotta get back to this. I'm not trying to do no interview, all right?
Okay, so Andrew, what it sounds like to me is they might be actually using like a PI type of server to run plates, because I don't know how else they'd have access to it. Maybe you would know a little bit better than that. But how is it the fact that, I mean, police aren't going out there and saying, you need to stop doing that. I mean, they're harassing people who are just driving down public streets. Where's law enforcement here?
Well, law enforcement is on the side of the protesters. I mean, the governmental structure of Minneapolis has been completely corrupted. It's completely illegitimate. I should mention, just last Friday, I spent a couple hours with Jorge on Tim Pool's show. And mm-hmm. He's just a great guy.
Yeah.
His photographer, Eric, too, really two nice guys doing God's work out there covering these protests. How are they getting the license plate data? I mean, the easiest way would be from a cooperative police officer within the department. It gets a little complicated because these scanners are actually contracted by a third-party company, so they may have an in within that company that's providing them with the data. It's all unlawful. The scanners, these blockades they're putting in the roadway, completely unlawful. This is a state and a city in active insurrection against the federal government. Trump has for weeks had all the authority he needs to invoke the Insurrection Act. I think he's playing a longer-term, calmer political game than maybe I would play, but certainly the moment he wants to invoke it, he has all the authority he needs to do that.
Yeah, and we're going to sit back and watch as that all plays out, because apparently, I mean, the DOJ says they're going to get a little tougher on the issue, and we hope that they do. But again, we haven't really seen much in the way of movement on that front. I also want to get to you this story, because this one's really interesting. There was that 5-year-old boy who has become the new prop of the Democratic Party, because they're trying to sit out there and say that this 5-year-old boy was taken into ICE custody, that he was arrested. Lima Ramos is the individual, and his father was being detained. His father actually abandoned him, according to DHS. And this is their claim. When they were trying to pursue him and arrest him, he apparently abandoned his son. The mother didn't want to take custody of the son either, even though ICE apparently said, we won't even arrest you, just please take this kid. They didn't do that. So it looks like now there's been a judge who has ordered the release of the child and the father as well, so they are no longer in ICE custody. But there seems to be a lot of legal layers to all of this. This judge who ruled on his release is actually a Clinton appointee. But what do you make of all of this? Because right now we're watching this get played out. I mean, they're giving this kid a tour of a Delta airline flight. He's in the cockpit with the pilots. They're trying to pull the heartstrings of Americans. And yeah, our heart does bleed for children. But the reality of it is, if his parents are here illegally, they need to go and they need to take their kid with them. And they've so far have failed at that. According to DHS, like I mentioned, DHS alleges that they just abandoned their child. And that's why he had to go to the detention facility. I mean, this is all a mess, and the mainstream media is pushing it as if they've done some wrong here, DHS specifically. But what do you make of it?
The most striking thing here to me is it's another example of this horrific false empathy of the left. The person I feel sorry for here is this 5-year-old kid. Can you imagine 5 years old and your father's approached by ICE and he abandons you in the freezing cold of Minneapolis? And then they bring you to your mother and your mother slams the door in your face? I mean, these are horrible, contemptible people. And by the way, I think the judge that signed this order releasing this father and this kid, first of all, it's an insane order. Second of all, I believe it's actually a Biden appointee who got put on the bench with 49 votes in the Senate. He didn't even have majority votes in the Senate. And now he's an unelected, black-robed, tyrannical, inferior federal district trial court judge ordering about our democratically elected Article II executive branch as if President Trump were a clerk in his courtroom. It's complete madness. These judges are in a state of insurrection against our constitutional order.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating to sit back and watch them do all of this, and it goes unchallenged and unchecked, and there needs to be some type of checks and balances to this. I'm sure there will be an appeals process, of course, but if you're legally here, you need to go, and that needs to be the standard for all. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. I greatly appreciate your time. As always, it was an honor to have you on. We look forward to having you back on soon, so thank you for being with us.
Sounds good. My pleasure.
Folks, I want to play this clip of Senator Rand Paul detailing Alex Pretty. As many of you guys know, that was the individual who was shot and killed by DHS officers. It's obviously very controversial. We're still waiting for more information. Apparently, there's claims that, you know, DHS wasn't initially very honest with us at first. So Senator Rand Paul is calling a lot into question right now. Take a listen to clip 5.
I saw no evidence. I saw a man that was retreating. I mean, he went to the middle of the street, He didn't even obstruct traffic. He let a car go through. As the agents advanced on him, he retreated to the side of the street. A woman is violently pushed to the ground, and he turns to help her, and that's when he is grabbed from behind. I saw no evidence of him assaulting the police.
Should Secretary Noem be fired?
I think we have to get through our hearing February 12th, and I think we have to see what the people who work for her say. But my advice to them, if they're watching and they come to testify, is if you come in and you're going to justify that this man was aggressively assaulting your police officers, that cannot be acceptable, and that's why they're lacking in trust.
He also says he's concerned about the misstatements of others.
The commander of the Border Patrol operation.
This looks like a situation where an individual wanted to do maximum damage and massacre law enforcement.
The FBI director didn't tell the truth about Preddy's right to carry a gun.
You cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have that right to break the law and incite violence.
The president's advisor, Stephen Miller, called Preddy an assassin. That's a lot of people not telling the truth.
It sounds like terrible judgment. I mean, terrible conclusions, incorrect conclusions, stating things that no one else believes. You can lie to your heart's content if there's no video, but the video doesn't support what they're saying.
You seem to be saying trust is broken.
Without question.
Obviously, folks, I would disagree with a lot of that. This individual was an agitator. We've seen the footage. We've seen the videos. We've seen him kicking into vehicles. I mean, you guys saw it yourselves. This isn't me making it up. This isn't false. Senator Rand Paul, I get it. His intentions are probably really good here, but the reality of it is I think that these agitators aren't protesters. They're not peacefully protesting. They are the aggressors. And the problem is again, I mean, this is the image that we were given. Does that look like a peaceful protester to you? No, that looks like a crime. He just kicked out their brake light. And to sit here and pretend like this is a guy who was peacefully protesting. Again, I understand that this didn't happen the same day, but the reality of it is we haven't seen all the footage. We haven't seen all the footage. Like I reported early in the show, it looks like they're going to start getting more body cam. But again, this is just insane to sit here and just completely bash them. Folks, I want to remind you, we're going to be taking calls in just a few moments, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is the one you're going to want to call into. Again, we'll be taking your call, stories that are relevant, topics that are relevant to what we've discussed thus far. Ah, words, they're so confusing. I want to get to clip 7. There's a pastor in Dallas, Texas, who I actually think he does great videos. He does great content. I highly recommend you give him a follow. Josh Howerton, he details the propaganda war that we're up against right now. Specifically, though, as we just detailed there for you guys, the propaganda war in regards to ICE and how those on the left are trying their very best to stop these mass deportations. And so they're creating their own narratives. And the pastor walks you through it in clip 7. Take a listen.
Now listen, I'm about to waterboard you with this. If you do not believe you're in the middle of a propaganda war, I love you and you can be as mad at me as you want. You're wrong. Okay, so listen, I'm going to rapid fire these. Here we go. Right here, number one. No, this is not a picture of an 8-year-old girl who died in ICE custody under the Trump administration's heartless dictatorship. It happened in 2023, as reported by the New York Times, under the Biden administration. But now it's getting millions of views and being labeled as happening now. Number two, no, this is not a photo of a 5-year-old put in a cage because of the current administration calls people illegal. Nope. Snopes reports after millions of views, it was discovered that was a photo taken at a protest staged in front of Dallas City Hall. The parents brought the kid to the protest. He was in the cage for about 30 seconds and he cried because he couldn't figure out how to get out. Number three, no, this is not a video of ICE agents, quote unquote, drive by macing people for no reason. That went mega viral. I watched the entire video myself. They were throwing things at law enforcement vehicles and the guy maced the guy that was throwing things at law enforcement vehicles. Number four, no, this is not a picture of a woman whose hand was shot off by ICE agents firing rounds at mourners, as was claimed, and it got millions of views. Nope, she was rioting and obstructing law enforcement, and as you can see right here, she picked up a flashbang before it detonated and injured her own hand, blew part of it off. Next one. No, this is not a picture of a 5-year-old boy arrested by ICE. As reported, the boy's father abandoned him while he was fleeing arrest. That is a picture of ICE agents following protocol and not leaving a 5-year-old alone in freezing weather out on the street. Next one. No, this is not a picture of a baby that was tear gassed by ICE while his parents were on their way to a basketball game. Go to that next picture. You can literally see in video that was uncovered later. His parents lied. They're on video at a violent protest and they left their baby alone in a car for 45 minutes at a riot that they helped cause and they forced tear gas to be deployed. Next one. This is not a picture of an innocent restaurant worker being arrested by heartless ICE agents. As you can see right here, it is a picture of an illegal child rapist who fled into a restaurant to avoid arrest and seems to have a knife in his hand if you look closely. Next one. This is not a picture of ICE ripping a disabled woman from her car while she was screaming that she was trying to get to the doctor, as was claimed and seen by millions of people. I watched the entire video. She was intentionally obstructing ICE officers by blocking a road. She was asked by 4 different ICE officers to move. She did not comply, and so they were forced to remove her from her vehicle. Next one, this is not a picture of a mother whose son was gunned down for no reason by quote-unquote racist ICE officers. Nope. Actually, it was discovered this kid was firing an AR-style rifle into the air in the middle of an apartment complex. He was asked to stop by law enforcement who self-identified as law enforcement. And not only did he not comply, he is reported as turning his firearm on the ICE agent and firing a shot in the agent's direction. In fact, the kid's dad admitted in a video interview that I watched that his son was doing something illegal with a gun and he knew that it was illegal. Next one. No, that is not an innocent man. This right here. There was not an innocent man that was shot for no reason by ICE agents in Arizona. Next one. Actually, even the Associated Press reports the guy was firing rounds at law enforcement helicopters and law enforcement individuals and they returned defensive fire. Next one. No, this is not a picture of a federal agent, quote unquote, terrorizing an innocent observer by pointing a gun at his face. Nope. If you go watch the video, I took these screenshots. The guy was obstructing law enforcement on purpose. He initiated contact with the law enforcement agent and pulled the gun, tried to pull it out of his hands. Then the muzzle of what appears to be a gun briefly flashes in front of his face because he pulled it out of the agent's hands and it was pepper spray. It was not a rifle.
Yeah, so if you're catching on to the theme here, they're all lying to you. They're all lying to you. I love the fact that we've got a pastor now who's out there dishing out all the details and all of this. It's very obvious if you're paying attention that that's the goal here. Again, they've been trying to push this 5-year-old being detained by ICE narrative for quite some time. This isn't the first 5-year-old that they've pushed out there. They've been hoping that something sticks. And we knew that they were going to do this. We knew that they were going to push this false lie. And unfortunately, so many people continue to buy into it. So disappointing. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. I keep talking about it, but these energy shots are absolutely amazing. I do one a day, and they are incredible. I've been doing this for about 2.5-3 weeks now. I just ordered another case of them as well. You got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. One of these shots costs about a cup of coffee, so it is completely affordable, it is reasonable, and it is a great resource for boosting your energy. No caffeine, no jitters, all natural over at thealexjonesstore.com.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed, 2 I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get them for $100. They're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap plus $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
You're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. You guys can join the show. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. 877-789-2539 as we get ready for the third hour of the program. You're going to be joining me for the first segment. And then Liz Harrington will join us for the next segment. Liz got a lot of sound off on because I keep hearing from people at the DOJ, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of really bad apples over the Department of, I'm just going to say it, the Department of Injustice. I'm going to bring it back. You say that under the Biden regime, I'm going to bring back that term because they have not done a damn thing that any of us would deem as being actual credible things to earn back the trust of the American people. Don Lemon doesn't count. Don Lemon doesn't count. So we'll be talking to Liz about that. She's also the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump. And so there's a lot that I want to hear from her specifically on that. Again, we'll be taking your calls in this portion of the hour. I also just got an alert that Jared Kushner is going to be working with, he's going to be on Friday hosting a meeting with the Iranian foreign minister. And that's what did happen on Friday. He's going to be there with Steve Witkoff. Gosh, I'll get it together eventually. But Jared Kushner is going to be front center on that. I didn't vote for Jared Kushner. I thought he was out. I thought he was done. I thought he wanted nothing to do with politics. That was what we were promised on the campaign trail, I thought. Well, Jared Kushner always finding a way to weasel his way back in as he gets ready for that meeting on Friday. We'll keep our eye on it, of course, as it develops. As many of you guys know, not letting up on that anytime soon, of course. Folks, we got a lot to discuss, though, obviously, with Liz Harrington. I look forward to just that. Morning Joe today was actually having a mental breakdown in regards to Tulsi Gabbard being at the Fulton County raid. We've got the video of it. It's quite laughable. It is. These people just hate. They just hate the rest of us. You can't dare challenge an election. You can't ask any questions. If you do, Morning Joe's going to be ticked off. He's going to go after you. He's going to get really, really angry. He's not happy about that, of course. We've got our eyes on a lot of different things, though, going on right now. Again, we'll call up the DOJ corruption in just a little bit. I've also got my eye, too, because I told you in the start of the show that there was the raid on the X office. As many of you guys know, that's the company that Elon Musk owns. And the interesting part to all of this is, well, why? Now, the reports, the mainstream media reports are saying that it has something to do with child pornographic images. Again, that's something we could all get behind preventing, obviously, from that circulating on X. I know that's been a massive, massive issue. But it's also likely due to the algorithm. That's something that they wanted to talk to him about. We know just that. So we'll keep our eye on that, of course. We'll keep our eye on that. Also, the Marxist president in Colombia will be making his way to the White House today. He's expected to have a meeting with President Donald Trump. I believe that meeting is, I wrote it down, 11 a.m. Eastern time. So it's going on right now. The president, too, at 2 p.m. Eastern time is expected to participate in a signing event. It's called signing time on his schedule. I don't know what that is, but we'll have to see. But I think it's interesting that the president is welcoming the leader of, obviously, he's a Marxist. Colombia is a drug dealer. To the White House. All right, folks, we've got a lot going on over here. So buckle up, a lot happening. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. It's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls in just a few moments. So buckle up. And if you want to join the show and you, well, let's say you want to support the show, go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have our rolling sale. So of course, items are going to change their discounts. It's a revolving door. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Check it out for yourself. Methylene Blue is 25% off. MK Ultra as well. And a lot more. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, guys, third hour of the show, Liz Harrington joining us, and we're taking your calls. We'll be going down the list in just a few moments, so buckle up, more to discuss.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Third hour of the program kicking off right now. We'll be taking your calls in just a moment. It's a big story. I don't know why it's not getting enough attention. I keep talking about these biolabs that are across the country. These are very dangerous. You keep hearing these reports too. Oh, tuberculosis cases are skyrocketing in certain regions. Well, let me just point you to what we broke to you earlier in the show in case you missed it, because this is a big story. I want to make sure it's on your radar. An illegal biolab, which was apparently owned by a Chinese national, according to reports, was just raided over the weekend, and it was in Las Vegas. Now, the interesting part of all of this, the CDC is claiming that there was at least 20 potentially infectious agents at this lab, which included HIV, tuberculosis, and the deadliest form of malaria. Now, they're also claiming that there was a refrigerator labeled Ebola that was later discovered in all of this. Folks, the Chinese are getting ready to launch a war on U.S. soil, and this is one of those many layers to it. And I don't understand why we're sitting here pretending to play footsie with the CCP, working out deals. They want to kill us. They want to kill us. That's the reason why they've opened up these labs all across the country. So that's not surprising. Not surprising at all. All right, let's jump in and start taking some calls. Let's get to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show. Tim, do you hear me?
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning,
Tim.
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
So far, so good.
Good to hear.
Hey, now, I'll just give you a top hit list here. First off, I heard Alex before he rested his voice a bit, which he never does. I heard him doing a whole thing, a whole rant about the fire situation in L.A. and every detail. He really went over it really good. He spent a long time on it. But he did just briefly hit on something that I thought maybe people just don't know. There was actually 183 pieces of fire truck equipment that were all just sitting in a maintenance yard, just turning to dust. You think, well, how could that possibly happen? They're all so shiny and everything. Well, that's because in the $13 billion budget for Los Angeles, they cut $17.4 million out of the Los Angeles Fire Department's budget. Mayor Bass called that a reset. But of course, as a result, you know, just all the stupid stuff happened. They didn't have the water reserve filled up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but as it turns out, more than half of the equipment was out of service. More than half was out of service. So there you go. Just because of stupid leadership is my point. Those things should all been shined up and ready to go. Okay,
yeah.
Then next, you know, out of 3,134 counties in the United States of America, nine counties you have 590 times more likely violent confrontation than any of the others. There's 63% of all violent confrontations with non-immigrants nationwide are in nine counties. So our focus should be on those nine counties. And I got to, and by the way, this thing has backfired on them big time because they thought, well, if they just let all these people mob in here, it'll work out just fine. The problem is we're in a position now where it's every 1 minute and 44 seconds, a taxpayer leaves California. Every 2 minutes and 23 seconds, a taxpayer leaves New York. Every 6 minutes and 4 seconds, a taxpayer leaves Illinois. These states are hemorrhaging residents. So just saying, you're losing all the people that pay your money because you thought you were going to get this thing going real well for you. And now it's going to blow up in your face because the only people that really pay your bills are leaving. And and you see what happens. You're cutting all the services to the fire department and so forth. Well, last hit, Mayor Bass had to talk about the upcoming Olympics. And you know that's a disaster waiting to happen. And sure enough, she'd promised many times, hey, we're not going to move the unhoused. And now yesterday comes out, you know, the county and everybody's got this great plan for how they've got to move them all away from all the locations, make sure that nobody gets to ever see what a miserable condition this city is in. When they look at it from all over the world, it's just going to be this gleaming, wonderful thing. And I'm reminded that Gavin Newsom did that previously when Xi Jinping came. And when they confronted him with it, he goes, well, it's true because, it's true. And I think that's back where we're at now. We're just going to right out in your face, move these homeless people somewhere else for a few weeks, and then they'll come right back after the Olympics are done.
Yeah.
And then one last. This morning they also announced that they're going to have a whole bunch of other stadiums all over the country that they're going to have to send the soccer stuff to. Oh, well.
You know, Tim, you're right about the California and New York issue. I think we did the story earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. I don't know. Everything's a blur. But New York is about to, and so is California, about to lose a good chunk of their congressional seats because of so many people who have fled. So we can expect that in the next census. So, yeah, you're spot on. Thanks for calling. As always, Tim, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. All right. I want to turn to Jake in Missouri. Jake, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Take you back a little bit. Daniel Pretty, Kristi Noem was right. She just said it wrong. You have him on video multiple times confronting ICE and CBD, our Border Patrol. Anyways, he got hurt. Up until then, he didn't have a gun. But the last time he came back with a gun, she was right in what she said. She just said it wrong. He came back for revenge. And now he's dead because he's stupid.
I'm going to wait to see all the footage that's coming out of here because I'm like, all right, let's see what we get with all of this. His name is Alex Pretty, and it's a tragedy okay. Anytime it's a loss of life. It truly, truly is. But, people have to stop attacking ICE agents. They need to stop going after federal officers. I would never do so with a firearm on me. And so I think you're asking for problems when you do all of this. And so it's obviously a sea of confusion. So yeah, I can understand that, Jake.
All right. Well, have a good day, Brianna.
Thank you. As always, we appreciate you calling in. Let's turn to Jordan. Jordan, welcome to the show in New Jersey.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And thanks for taking my call today. I was on Alex's show last year in February, around February 10th. Everybody can look it up on band.video. But I talked about the Article 3 judges and the problems there, Boasberg being probably the most infamous now. But all these other judges in many of these jurisdictions and district courts upending constitutional powers or seemingly trying to do that at every stage, which allows the insurrection basically to continue. So I just wanted to state that there is a way to set up military tribunals. I know you had Branca on earlier, whose analysis is amazing. His X account's great. Everybody should be on that. When you're trying to look through the morass here, the fog of the dissident. But if there was a case in 1866 called Ex parte Milligan, Milligan, 71U22, which talked about use of military tribunals against civilians. If you do the AI dive on this, you don't do it right. The AI, like on Google and some of these other things, will say, oh, it's unconstitutional, it can't be done. If you read the case, it's quite different. You can use military tribunals, and you can close down these civilian courts, which include Article III courts, in these jurisdictions by using the Insurrection Act. And there's a whole host of other U.S. codes that could be utilized, whereby the federal courts can be closed, whereby military tribunals can try civilians such as Walz and some of these other people who are openly defying the federal government in these states. It's an extreme measure, but to say that it can't be done is poppycock. And so the more and more this happens and the more situations like Minneapolis occur and are allowed to occur, this has to be invoked. I agree with Branca 100%. And if you read Ex parte Milligan, it says very clearly – not the AI breakdown of it, but you read the case, which isn't very long. It says if the states are in open rebellion, okay, as stated by the president, these things can be suspended and the people responsible can be tried in these military tribunals. All right, so I just want to update my words to Alex. Because obviously the Congress isn't doing anything about this because they're completely compromised and useless. So I just wanted to update my, you know, memo to him from last year as an alternative. And that if Trump doesn't do this in the face of something similar to this or worse, we need to really push and say that this can be done. This is legal. And if you don't do it, you're now deliratus on your own duties and what you've promised the American people. And we'd have to understand that, because this will undo the country if something like this gets out of hand, as we well know. And we're all worried about.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to update you on that. And as far as the DOJ people, they're careerist people. These are people that will do anything to get the next promotion, and I can guarantee you that their stated salary is not how much they are actually worth, people like Todd Blanche and these careerist people, all right? All these people should be audited consistently. They don't just get the salary from the DOJ, these people that are embedded in here. These are deep state operatives that need to be treated as such. And so the only way around that is doing something like this for these really problem states like California, Minnesota, New York, potentially Chicago. And unfortunately, it's the nuclear option. So I just wanted to bring all that to the fray. I want to thank you for your time and doing a great job, and keep up the good fight.
Jordan, we always appreciate you. So thank you for calling in. No, I mean, it's always great to hear your perspective. I can't even speak right now, but your perspective on these things. So thank you, as always, for calling in. We greatly appreciate it. Let's turn to Sean in Minneapolis. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Sean. It's a little rough to hear. I don't know if we're on speaker. Okay. I think it got better. No, it didn't. Sean, are we on speaker?
No.
It's a little rough to hear.
All right. 1 second. I'm sorry. Uh-huh.
It's okay. So we got Sean in Minneapolis calling. I'll give him a second to fix his speaker. And then if we get it going, I might take another caller. So let's see. Sean, did that work?
All right. Is that better?
Yeah, it sounds a little better. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay. What's going on?
So I wanted to call about the locked safety cameras and the AI control grid that they're setting up. You know, they say that these things, I mean, so they have some of them that only read license plates, and then they have others that are capable of facial recognition. And then they've also introduced the 2006 car kill switch. Mm-hmm. And my concern is they always introduce this under the guise of public safety, and then it gets turned into a track, trace, and database system for American citizens.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering why nobody is talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely done the biometric stories before. I know Mel Kay is very much on it. But the cameras itself, are you referring to just what specifically is happening in Minneapolis and how they're using the readers and whatnot?
Not just Minneapolis. They're rolling it out nationwide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm all for their stated use purpose of you know, doing what they need to do.
Well, that's the problem, Sean. I mean, the problem is too, when I push back and I tell people, like, don't get your photos taken at the airport, everyone just says, oh, well, I mean, it's fine. They've already got it anyway. So, like, what am I going to... And so I think so many Americans are just okay with the fact that their biometric data has already been stored, and they're okay with just surrendering at this point. I know, like, probably our audience isn't, but every time I post about it, every time I go to the airport, I put up a post about how they're trying to snatch my biometrics and how I'm pushing back. People always tell me that, why? Like, don't even fight it. I always think it's a fight worth fighting. In fact, I actually sued TSA over it, so... I'm very well invested in this, but yeah, no, like you're saying, the cameras obviously all doing so. The AI, it's a massive issue, and the facial recognition obviously as well. And it's not slowing down anytime soon. And sadly, we have an administration that thinks that AI and being the top leader in AI is a top priority right now for this administration. I understand it does some good, but then it also does a lot of bad. So I'm on board with that, Sean. Keep calling it out. So thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. Let's turn to Andy in Knoxville. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on. Long time watcher, listener, and first time caller.
Love it.
So I'm a little on the nervous side there. But first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for your work, and I think you're the perfect addition to InfoWars, and seemingly a really great person away from the desk. And then I happen to just agree with pretty much everything you say, like on your reporting and your show.
Thank you, Andy. I'm a big fan.
I think it's really important to say that, not to, you know, kiss your butt as much, but I'm a girl dad of two lovely daughters, and I think it's so important to have somebody as classy as what you present yourself to be, as an example in reporting the truth and the news and all of that. And it's good to know that there's an example of that out there that we can all watch. So
thank you, Andy,
for that.
I appreciate
you're that. Welcome. I did want to give a little bit of a plug about the products. I've been a 14-year addict of energy drinks, and you know, I've been on Methylene Blue and the Pro Human, Optimal Human, excuse me. Mm-hmm. You know, for about a month now, and I don't have to drink that crap anymore. It's really, really fantastic that I'm not worried about killing my kidneys anymore. Yeah, anyway, that's it's really cool. I'm excited to try some more products there. The message I wanted to call in about was I really kind of saw an opening. You know, I had a conversation with one of my liberal friends just last night, and you know, perfectly you led with Kevin Sorbo, and you covered the Rogan thoughts on, you know, Christianity and religion and whatnot. And I think the battle that we're all facing, like, you know, with in our daily lives and with the people that we love and friends and family that are, you know, liberal minded or, you know, democratically oriented through their lives, et cetera. You know, and they just won't see what's going on. They won't pay attention to it. They think that, you know, that we're all crazy. Well, we don't have to fight the battle the same way anymore. And I had a very productive conversation with my friend, regarding, you know, all of the things and like the Epstein information that's available, you know, things that are that we were all called crazy for and conspiracy theorists, and like we were all canceled from our friend circles and everything else. And I'm one of them. You know, there's quite a number of people that's affected me through. But Alex took a call from a man last week who was basically trying to convince his wife, you know, that like certain truths or whatever. And I could tell that Alex was really affected by the call. And I saw that, you know, also at the same time, I don't think that any of us really know how to proactively, you know, deal with the situation, because really often, like when you bring any of these things up, you just get screaming or, whatever and as a response. But I think that my message is that, like, in conversation with my friend and, like, in empathy for, like, the man's wife and, you know, all of my friends and family and anybody else that's listening, you know, you don't be patient with these people. A lot of them are already coming forward. A lot of them are already asking me questions because they're like, man, you've been saying this stuff for over half a decade or more and trying to help us. And, like, you know, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And there's actually some proactive conversation going on now. And, you know, I think it's, you know, in my personal faith, you know, what would Jesus do or how would he handle this? I think, you know, Charlie used to say that people overplay the empathy and the grace of God versus, like, the accountability and, you know, the repentance of the situation. And I think that I found myself in a conversation with another man who, you know, was willing to have a conversation about things that he knows that we disagreed with. And, you know, he actually, like, heard me out. And it was the foundation of that conversation was 100%. And, you know, there is a satanic cabal running the world. There is, you know, they're after our kids. Mm-hmm. They're doing horrible things. They've manufactured the economic systems and the education systems and all of these things that were absolutely asinine a couple years ago were crazy, and, like, now they're not. And we have those verifiable truths that, you know, now they're seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just very important. The message I wanted to give is just to be supportive of those people and listen as much as you can. I mean, I'm personally, like, Law and Order and Shut It Down and Do It Now, and I've wanted it for years too. But, you know, at the same time, it's I want to try and help as many people as I can. So that's really something that I'm grateful for. I think that that message is being delivered, you know, but I think that that's a really big in. It's just focus on the facts that are there, and whether they believe it or not isn't even an issue anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. So and build on those truths.
Yeah.
And they'll keep coming to you with questions and conversation, and maybe we'll reunite some people and stuff like that. But I just wanted to share that message. So
I love that message, Andy. Thank you for calling. No, I appreciate that too. Yeah, no, I think got a lot of liberal family members. Love them to pieces still. You know, their political views might just be absolute garbage, but they're great people. I think a lot of people though, Andy, I don't think they know. I don't think they get it. You know, I was like, they try to ambush me when I was in high school. When you graduated, they quickly gave you a voter registration form. We're like, what party are you going to pick? And I just didn't know. So I checked off Democrat. So for the very early phases of my life, I was a registered Democrat. And then when I started reading the legislation, I knew it was all a bunch of lies, all a bunch of garbage. And so I obviously have since gone off the political spectrum and shifted right, and then just kind of went off the cliff. But I do think that a lot of our liberal friends are savable. I know a lot of great liberals who find their way. Usually, right, when you start a family, you buy a house, you all of a sudden start changing your perspective. And so I think a lot of people see that shift once they begin to change their lives and their lifestyle starts to change a bit. So, Andy, I'm all on board for that, and I love that. And thank you very much for calling in, folks. We're up against a hard break right now, but if you're on hold, I'm going to try to get back to the calls after we interview Liz Harrington, because she'll be joining us in a moment. So if you're on hold right now, stand by. I'm going to try to get through more callers if we have some time. And we'll try our very, very best. Liz Harrington joining me in just a few moments. She is the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, and there's a lot to sound off on, especially when it comes to Fulton County. And I'm excited about that. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched that new energy shot. I'm telling you, I love it. I've been taking it for over 2.5 weeks now. It is amazing. No jitters, no caffeine, all the important vitamins that your body needs to get you the energy boost, and it lasts throughout the day. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag yourself some.
Harrison. Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine's one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We have an incredible guest joining us in just a moment. Liz Harrington, the former spokeswoman for President Donald Trump, will be with us in a second. And then I'll also be taking the calls. You are on hold right now, so we'll get to that. And we'll try to work our way through the list. But I think it's really, really fascinating, folks, how unhinged the media is regarding Tulsi Gabbard. Obviously, folks, she's the director of national intelligence, and she's got all the right people ticked off. That's because Tulsi's been leading the investigation into the Fulton County elections. As many of you guys know, the 2020 election has been very controversial in Fulton County. There's been a lot of very controversial things that came about. And Tulsi Gabbard's been trying to dig into all of this. And they weren't happy that during that raid that took place last week that Tulsi was there and she was present. But it wasn't just her, too. It was also one of the co-deputy directors of the FBI also present. That is Andrew Bailey. But interesting enough, Gabbard has been front and center, like I mentioned, and it's got all the right people ticked off, especially those over at Morning Joe. And in clip 13, you're going to hear how unhinged they are in regards to President Trump investigating Fulton County for potential election fraud. Take a listen.
And so I'm not talking about all people that voted for Donald Trump. We see the polls. There are some people who actually understand the dangers. But here, David French, again, this is built upon this stupid lie. And it is, it's not even a smart, this is a stupid lie that the 2020 elections were stolen. 63 federal judges threw out 63 of Donald Trump's stupid claims that the 2020 election was stolen, including the Supreme Court, including Thomas and Alito. All of them threw it out, said it was stupid. You had Donald Trump's own administration and the person in charge of elections saying it was the safest, it was the fairest, cleanest election in the history of our constitutional republic. So these aren't even good lies. These aren't even like doesn't even make us do any work. It's right in front of our faces. And now he's basically saying, you got Pam Bondi in Minnesota saying, yeah, we'll stop terrorizing your state if you turn over all your voting files. That's in Minnesota. And now in Georgia, Tulsi Gabbard is now in charge of seizing voters' files in Georgia. That is so unconstitutional. States run elections, not presidents who are scared their party's going to lose. And it's not an overstatement at all to say that this looks like what autocratic regimes do. This looks like what Orban does. This looks like what Putin does. This looks like what all the worst of the worst across the world do. And right now, it's happening again in Georgia.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I forced you all to listen in on that. But Morning Joe, not very happy that our investigation into election fraud are being carried out. Joining me to discuss is Liz Harrington. She's the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump. And she knows a thing or two about election fraud. And so it's great to have her back on the program. Liz, I want to hear your take on this because Morning Joe is very unhinged. They're not happy that Fulton County is being investigated for allegations regarding election fraud. And many of us remember, we recall, we sat back and watched what happened in 2020 and how Fulton County played a very big role in all of that. Your reaction to the unhinged lefties in the corporate media world who are just so upset and so bothered by not only the investigation altogether, but Tulsi Gabbard being there for that raid that was carried out.
Well, great to see you, Brianna. I love that line. Oh, it's the safest, cleanest, most secure, but God forbid you ever get to see the votes. You ever get to see the ballots. I mean, he just completely contradicted the entire point right there. If it's so safe, it's so secure. Joe Biden just got the most votes in the history of probably not just our republic, but the entire world, right? This guy got 81 million votes. It was so safe. It was so clean. It was so secure. But God forbid we ever take a look under the hood of that election because 63 judges, which is hilarious also, by the way, Brianna, after we've seen the lawfare and the corruption in the courts, I mean, that idea that, oh, look, the courts threw this all out. We all can see that. Well, of course they did. They didn't want to look at this election. Look how many injunctions and lawless orders they've put out to try to stop the American people's agenda since then. I mean, it's quite obvious they're working against the American people, but they're clearly terrified. I love this. I'm so happy to see them freaking out and calling it election meddling because, again, they point out the simple fact that if looking at corruption and investigating voter fraud from 2020 is somehow interfering in the 2026 midterms. They just admitted that they cheat.
Yeah. Yeah. And Liz too. I mean, you just talked about the fight on the ground that took place. I remember, Bernard Carrick, who sadly passed away, but he was working with Rudy Giuliani at the time, and they were trying their very best to get local lawmakers, especially in Georgia, to look into their elections, to just ask simple questions and realize that they don't actually have to certify them yet because there might have been beliefs that there was fraud here. And not a single person wanted to even entertain the discussion because they were just all afraid of what would happen if they even questioned the elections. I mean, Liz, this is what they've done. They successfully created this fear in Americans for questioning the results or the results of their elections, I should say, what they push as their final results. And a lot of people just kind of comply with all of this. And when you're sitting here listening to the Morning Joe kind of regurgitate the same talking points as we've heard before when they were trying to push us on all of this and tell us it was true, it was all safe, it was secure. It all just reminds me, it's like a flashback from the past. Why do you think those in the corporate media haven't learned their lesson, though, that the American people, when you look at the polls, the American people see the election integrity issue as a top priority, but for some reason, those in the corporate media world are just so well insulated, maybe, and they don't see this.
Well, they're so tied to the actual lie, right? They call this a stupid lie. It's quite stupid to think Joe Biden got 81 million votes most in history. That's quite stupid. But if they actually looked at any of the facts on the ground in Georgia and many other states, we wouldn't be in this problem, right? I mean, if the media did their job, if they did investigations, it's quite obvious and clearly obvious that these elections were stolen. And it wasn't just 2020. We've still seen stolen elections, many of them since then. And that's why it's so important that Tulsi Gabbard and others in the administration are actually looking at this and following through on what President Trump wants them to do, which is make sure we actually have safe and secure elections that are fair, because they haven't been, and they haven't been for a very long time. So they are so tied to this lie. If this gets exposed, they all go down with it, and they know that. So they've tied themselves to the deep state. They're very intertwined. They're basically the same thing. And that's what they do. They push this garbage. I mean, that's how you know Tulsi and others are directly over the target. Yeah. When you have this same playbook being thrown at her once again, even with the same lawyer of the fake whistleblower behind President Trump's first sham impeachment, you have the same attorney representing another confidential whistleblower within a complaint that's so secret, so top. It has to be secure in a locked safe that they leak it to the Wall Street Journal. It's so stupid. They have to bury in 13 paragraphs in that Tulsi Gabbard has been cleared of any of these fake allegations, but it doesn't stop them from drumming up all of these smear tactics, same thing, to try to discredit what she's doing. Because if the election system is exposed of how corrupt it is, all of them lose their jobs too. All of them are exposed. They'll be out of business. So this is why it's so important that they're fighting against it. It's so important that the truth comes out, because it really holds so much to getting this country back and making sure we have a fair and constitutional republic going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's a top priority for Americans. And we keep hearing President Trump voicing his concerns about that on Truth Social as well. So hopefully everyone else gets in line with that. Liz, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit, because I'm a little nervous over at the DOJ. You know, there are some individuals at certain agencies that are doing a great job. And unfortunately, I've got some friends over at the DOJ, and they keep reaching out about how bad things are getting. But yesterday I noticed that CNN had ran an article in regards to Ed Martin. And Ed Martin's an absolute patriot. You know, we've listened to his podcast before. He was a well-credentialed attorney prior as well. And, you know, he stepped into the spear to fight all these deep staters. And he's got a kind of a bumpy road ahead of him. But there was this story, and at first they claimed it was exclusive, but the CNN was claiming that he was going to be walking away from his position from the DOJ itself in the coming weeks. And so I've got lots of sources who told me that was absolutely false and not to believe it. And then I was told later that he was actually demoted. He was running the weaponization group over at the DOJ, but he's no longer running that group. I've also been told that there's individuals over at the DOJ who have planted these stories about Ed Martin over at CNN, even if they're false. They're trying their best to force him out, not just Ed Martin, though. There are other people over at the DOJ who I deem as patriots, people who went into these positions for all the right reasons. They're also receiving the same level of harassment that Ed Martin is. And there's people there, not even career DOJ officials, but people who have just recently been brought into the DOJ who are going out there and trying to push them out. What do you make of all the internal issues that are happening right now at the DOJ? Because, again, we still haven't seen any major arrests. And a lot of people who went in there with all the best intentions are being pushed out.
It's super concerning. And it's interesting also, Brianna, it's not just CNN, right? You had a trio of stories, leakers, to CNN, Washington Post, and the New York Times all in the same day, which tells you a lot, right? If you have high-ranking people at the DOJ who are leaking to these outlets, what has changed? What has changed exactly? It's not anything good. And I've seen this before. You know, people get, by the grace of God, get in, right, with well intentions, and they're really trying to do the right thing, like Ed Martin. They get into these positions, but then people around them, people above them, don't give them staff, don't give them resources, set them up for failure. And then they run to the boss and say, look, this guy, he can't do anything. He's not effective. Don't you want this, this, and this? He hasn't done anything. Well, he hasn't been able to accomplish certain things because you've been blocking them the entire time. And I've seen that before. I feel like that's what's happening now. And again, like you said, and your sources are telling you, they're trying to, you know, write his exit before it's even happened. So then it seems like it's a done deal, and push him out. And I hope he does stay. You know, people like him and others, they don't cry about it. They don't run to the boss and complain. They put their head down and they try to get something done, even if it's really hard and near impossible to get results because you've been literally given nothing else. It's just you and you're trying to get something done. But I hope he does stay. I hope this is made clear and these bad actors, they get out of the way. I mean, this is insane. We have an agenda here. The time is ticking. The clock is ticking. What are you doing? I mean, if you're not on board with the agenda of cleaning up corruption and saving this republic, you need to be exposed. You need to be removed. That's just plain and simple. And there's not much time, especially before the midterms, when nothing else will get done if they're able to steal them. So we can't let that happen. And I think any of these bad actors, first and foremost, anybody in the administration who is still leaking to these fake news outlets needs to go. I mean, why are we here in 2026 still dealing with this crap? And it is crap. We shouldn't be dealing with it. And if anybody is up there doing that, they need to be fired.
Yeah. Yeah, Liz. I mean, there's people who've been brought in recently who I'm very well aware of who their purpose is to push back on the PR nightmare for certain individuals. And it's just so frustrating because their idea of pushing back and to defend people who have hired them is to go out there and plant these bad stories. And, you know, I know this quite well now at this point. I've got all the people, the characters mapped out. It's just a matter of, I'm going to be reaching out for all of them for comment first before I start dropping names. But what they're doing is pure evil. It doesn't help our agenda at all. It doesn't help further what the American people want. And these people need to be purged from the DOJ. They don't belong there. They shouldn't be there in the first place. And it's bad because we've still got corrupt individuals. I mean, we called out Kenneth Quarter was an individual who was handling the J6 persecutions and was flagging Americans who weren't even there that day. One American who wasn't even there that day to be arrested. You got people like that still working over at the DOJ. Plus you got more bad apples being brought in, and it's just an absolute nightmare. Liz, do you see that we could ever kind of work our way through all of this? Cause you know, the president constantly calls it a swamp. But it's even swampier than most people even understand. I mean, we have people taking, allegedly taking cash for promoting their own personal agenda. They're not officially into the campaign. They're on the outskirts. And so a lot of these pressure campaigns that are happening right now are due to the fact that outsiders are being paid to influence those on the inside. And it's leading to a lot of things not getting done.
Right. And again, the Fulton County raid kind of made me hopeful, honestly, because we hadn't seen anything like that happen. And so I am optimistic. But on the other hand, you know, you're going to have a lot of bad actors moving heaven and earth to sabotage the that operation and the truth coming out. I mean, you know that's going to happen. They're not going to stop. Again, this is their livelihoods. They've made a ton of money in these positions and outside, like you mentioned, too. There's a ton of money involved, and they don't want to give that up. And so it's really important, again, you have to be able to look through all this and make sure you have the right people in place. Yeah. I mean, that is just key. And unfortunately, fortunately, there are a lot of good people still. Yeah. But unfortunately, there's people at the top and around that do not have good intentions, who are clearly slow walking things and biding the time, so they can see that Trump is gone and everything just goes back to business as usual. But the problem for them and for everyone else is business as usual means the end of the country. It's not going to last. In case you haven't, you know, studied history. I mean, this is, it's really dire times that we're living with, this corruption. And mm-hmm. if you don't meet it head on, it's not going to end well. So again, I think they have to make changes. Look, there's been enough time. It's not trust the plan and wait and see. There's been enough time. Major changes need to happen, I think. And we have to get some real rest going and real accountability, because again, they're not going to be afraid, to do it again. And it's going to be way worse next time.
Yeah. No, it is, Liz. And that's the problem I think most Americans have with all of this. But Liz, I always appreciate you joining us, and I always appreciate you keeping it truthful. I mean, that's the reason why we love having you on. You always give your best takes, and you're an honest person, and we really appreciate that, especially in politics. There's not many, but we could trust in you, Liz. So thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
You bet. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. All right, folks. I want to make sure we turn to some callers, because I know we had a long list, and I didn't want to leave anyone on hold. Let's get to Savage Dog. Savage Dog, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Oh,
hey, good morning, Brianna. I was going to say, I don't know if you missed it, but one of the leaks in the files was that a guard at the jail where Epstein was staying the night before he was killed said that he saw Epstein being wheeled out in a wheelchair and loaded into a van. They couldn't get his plates or anything, and then he leaked that on 4chan, which is, it could have been lucky. But the next day, the FBI went after him so hard that they got his identity from 4chan and had a grand jury indictment already in like the next day, within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was going to call about. I'm sure you've heard of it, or, you know, if
I did. I think Harrison did it yesterday on his show. I think that's where I heard it from yesterday. It was Harrison's show.
I heard mine on Salty Cracker today, or from last night. But anyway, I do want to actually talk about something else, and that was Andy, your caller, I think the last caller before your break.
Mm-hmm.
Good first time call, brother. And, man, the Holy Spirit grabbed you by the boo-boo and you went ahead and got on here and gave a really good message. And I just want to say personally that I do appreciate that you came on and gave the word that probably you were told to give, you know. Good job, sir. I hope to hear from you again and hear good words from you again.
I love that.
I just want to give encouragement to Andy. Encouragement and love, my brother.
I love that. We all could use a little Savage Dog. We could all use a little bit of that. So thank you, my friend. And thank you for staying on hold with us. I appreciate it as always. It's always an honor to have you on the show, my friend. So thank you. I also know one of our other friends, Andrew in New Jersey, is on hold as well. Andrew, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. We've only got about 3 minutes, so I'll give it to you.
She reminds me, Kathy Hochul, of Harvey from The Honeymooners. It was a big drunken guy that wants to fight Ralph. So every time I heard Hochul, she reminds me of not even a woman that's drunk, but a man that wants to pick a fight with you, like an old middle-aged guy that's going to fight the young guy that's in shape. Like, I'll fight you anywhere, Cramden. Tell me where you live. And also the pastor that was promoting abortion, that was the most egregious lie, because that was before pregnancy. she was saying consent. If you give consent, yes, but that was before she was pregnant. But I'll let you get going. Thanks. You're the opposite of Hochul. You're feminine, beautiful inside and out, and intelligent as well. Sorry, I'm losing my breath. Thanks. Take care.
Bye, Andrew. It's always a pleasure, my friend, for you to call into the show. So thank you. Thank you. Let's turn to Benny in Tennessee. Benny, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you?
Good, Benny. Good. You got 2 minutes. It's all yours.
Okay. I'm going to go quick. I think that I have a question about, do you have to be a government official or part of the DOJ to press charges against Anthony Fauci? I mean, could I, as an American citizen, the Constitution was written for me, could I just not bring charges against Anthony Fauci?
I'm not sure. I'm no lawyer, but I don't know if that's possible. I think you have to be a prosecutor to do just that. But I'm not an attorney.
Well, I know. I understand that. I mean, I would have a prosecutor working with me. I'm just saying, like, if I didn't have to wait for the DOJ to make the charges. And then, and we can contemplate that later. My other statement is, these, leftist activist judges, there's in the Constitution, it actually says that there's nothing in there that says they have a lifetime appointment. So when you get this Boasberg idiot who does something right after the Supreme Court judges saying that he isn't supposed to do it, and he does it again, why don't we just go in there and question his judgment and impeach him? It's there. That's why it's in the Constitution, so that they have oversight too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm on board for oversight. I don't know what the status of the Boasberg thing is. I mean, it's frustrating. I think most Americans would agree that he needs to be pulled off the bench. That would be a very popular take, but unfortunately, I don't think they're about to do that. And Benny, it's been frustrating to sit on the sidelines and kind of watch all of it unravel and see the lack of hustle in holding these individuals accountable. So yeah, I'm on board with it. I think we definitely need to do something. In regards to the other Fauci stuff, yeah, I'm not 100% certain. At all. Benny, thank you for calling in. I've got 45 seconds, Alex, and it's all yours in Connecticut. Alex, 45 seconds. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. Good to hear from you. Yes, neighbor here in Connecticut. I was just going to say, everybody that's trying to get over here and help out the DOJ needs to come over here to Connecticut. You know, F around, find out there's a lot of corruption over in Connecticut. Last thing I want to say for people out there, another rabbit hole people can check out is My Lunch Break on YouTube. Great stuff there. A lot of people waking up, the Great Awakening, a lot of things. Especially people of faith, you and I. It's great. Everybody keep the faith out there to the Creator, and mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, Alex, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. And, it's, we all got to keep faith. And that's why I hate doing the black pill stuff in the beginning. And, got to stay positive. Alex, thank you for staying on hold. I know you were on hold for a while, so we greatly appreciate it. And everyone else who called in for today's show, we appreciate it as always. All right, folks, that does it for me. I'll be back here again, of course, tomorrow. The Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Because again, those energy shots, I'm telling you, they are the best thing that I've seen so far over at the shop. You got to try them. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag a couple of these. Again, when you subscribe, it costs less than a cup of coffee, each of these shots. There's no jitters, no caffeine. It's all healthy. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.